Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Breathe in.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Carrie.
I'm Laura.
And this is...
Gallery Ghouls. Gallery Gremlins.
Thanks for having me back.
Thanks for being here.
It's a Wednesday.
It's evening. The sun's setting.
It's the witching hour up in here.
It is the witching hour.
Tony's possessed
by Paimon himself.
He's possessed by Midsommar.
Tony goes full Midsommar at dusk.
He did. He
tried to bite me and attack me. I had to hold him, clutch him to my breast and say, let's take a break in like a chill voice.
You're truly like that cool mom that's like, okay.
I hope I'm cool. Like he really
public,
overwhelms me.
When you see like that cool mom with their young kids and like at like the Grove, mm-hmm. and they're like, all right, we're just going to stand here and calm down.
Yeah. We just got to take a break.
Let's sometimes take a break.
You just really need to calm down. Yeah.
Go over where they're playing, that live band's playing.
Mm-hmm.
Dance a little.
Yeah.
And then come back to me when you're ready.
It's moments like of that punctuated with moments of like me just muttering under my breath, like, I'm going to fucking kill you.
That's parenthood, right?
Yeah, that's parenthood for you.
Like I always wonder how many times like when me and my sister were acting up as like little kids and my mom turned to my dad and just go like, fuck my life.
Yeah.
Or like, I'm going to fucking kill him. You mm-hmm. know?
That's my go-to. Is I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because usually it has to do with something he's doing that would most certainly kill himself.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he tried to eat a cigarette.
He tried to eat a literal piece of concrete.
I was like, he tried to take a drag of my cig.
Yeah. He's continually like eating an acorn. I'm like, can you not do any of this?
I mean, I was reminded of my dog, who's no longer with us.
R.I.P. Logan.
R.I.P. Logan.
You were a real one.
He was a real one.
You delighted me from afar.
He delighted
many.
That's
how I know it's true.
He ate pencils one time, like a bouquet of pencils. Just like, we were like, okay.
He's like, nothing like a little lead.
Nothing really like a little lead and a rubber.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, dogs just eat literally anything. And
dogs like experience things with their mouths.
They do.
So he probably was experiencing a pencil. And sometimes, you know, pencils smell so good, like fresh pencils.
Yeah, I used to smell them.
And like, but then they take an experience way too far.
Yeah, they're like, they're kind of like addict-y almost.
They're very addict. Like, they're true addicts.
I'm going to take this good moment and then push it till it becomes bad.
Yeah, push it until my life hangs in the balance.
Until I've like...
And then we are their higher power, mm-hmm. who has like more control than an actual higher power would have.
Yeah, because they actually do stuff.
Yeah, like they they need us like an addict needs an higher power.
I'm kidding.
No, I know.
But no, it's the best kind of God because
it's truly tangible. Caring God.
It's a truly caring God. Things happen. They make things happen. They bring food. If only we had gods. Like, I mean, maybe we do. Maybe we're just praying to the wrong ones.
Our spirits.
Maybe we should just start praying to like...
It'd be fun to have huge hands lift me up, be like, you're so pretty, you're so pretty, I love you so much. And then like flop me around, like tickle my back, then get me ready, like give me a bath, and shower me, style me, dress me.
Let us lay on their legs.
Yeah, let me lay on them while they just like rub me.
Yeah.
Feed me. They do everything for
me. Be adored
me.
By all
Take
of their god
out
friends.
Out of my mouth that I shouldn't be eating. You like go to bite an In-N-Out burger and they're like, ugh.
Yeah. Yeah. They're quick.
They keep
quick.
You a very healthy weight.
They're quick.
They make you exercise.
They make your hair fall out.
Yeah.
You're worrying about them. I used to literally, when I'd have to babysit my dog, when I was like living with my parents after college and they would go away for the weekend,
mm-hmm.
I'd be out in Philly where I live near and I would drive home from the bar to go be like, with Logan.
Yeah.
I was completely neurotic. I was like basically pulling my own hair out.
Oh, totally. So. I've like gotten over most of my fears that like Tony's going to somehow contract parvo. I was like, he's parvo. I know it. Like
Giardia.
Most of the time I was waking up like terrified that he had parvovirus. And then now.
That virus?
I don't know. It's like something they vaccinate against. It sounds horrific.
Sounds horrifying.
It's like and there's no cure for it. Like you just have to let it run its course and pray that like the dog lives through it.
I mean, I feel like that's every new parent's fear too with their baby that like.
Yeah. I've been having like a parental journey.
Yeah.
Like a postpartum.
Well, it's like, here's this little thing whose life is completely in my hands.
Mm-hmm.
And he or she does not know anything else, but like your generosity.
Yeah.
And guidance. And it's like, it's daunting.
Mm-hmm.
But it's beautiful.
It's amazing.
Tony's amazing.
He is a true ray of light in an otherwise
quicker
dark
than the
cruel
ray of
world.
Light, she's flying. Oh my God. I remember one time I brought a Ray of Light album to a boy's sleepover.
Fun. Did you play it?
Yeah, when I was in fourth grade.
That's amazing.
And I asked someone if they thought the music was watery to them. And they were like, I'm going to watch Dr. Doolittle. I like made them and they were all like, cool. Like they were all good humored about it. But they
were
like,
I remember when that music video came out and it was like peak TRL days too.
Mm-hmm.
It was a real moment.
And she
I was like,
great.
Wow, Madonna. That's when she was really into wearing like blue satin button up blouses.
Yeah.
Like she wore that blouse all the time.
She did.
She loved like a Tom Ford blue satin blouse. She must have had like 18 of them.
She also loved those like high, like what are those that Kris Jenner wears?
A bolo tie?
No, it's like a collar, a mandarin collar.
Yeah, she loves that. And it's when, and her hair in that video is goals. But then it was also
You kind of have Ray of Light hair going on.
Thanks. I strive for like, my ultimate hair would be a mixture of Ray of Light hair and Carrie Bradshaw season 2 Sex and the City hair.
Ooh.
Curly and just like long blonde Rudy.
Mm-hmm.
working towards that again.
It's happening.
It's going to happen. But remember when Madonna went to, was it the VMAs, and Courtney Love was like
throwing things at
throwing her cosmetics at her?
I was thinking about that the other night with the VMAs, which I didn't watch, except
who,
I saw
who did.
I mean, a lot of people. I saw Missy.
No, it had the lowest ratings of all time. No one gives a shit about the VMAs. I'm like, fucking idiot. No one gives a shit about the VMAs.
The lowest fucking ratings of all time, you fucking fool. I watched Missy's performance. That was great.
Okay.
But like, yeah, I don't.
The only thing that was cool is there were some Sopranos characters there because it was in New Jersey. But that feels like a weird, like.
It was in Newark.
Yeah. Which is bizarre, but like, I would have been down if I had been invited to go. I would have gone.
You would have
like,
taken the path.
Yeah. I would have hopped on all sorts of transportation to be there.
New Jersey Transit to Newark.
But I'm also like, does anyone in the generation of people who watch the VMAs give a shit about the Sopranos?
I don't think so. Like, it's weird that they were there.
Don't you think that many of the kids were like, who are you?
Yeah, I think they were like, who are you to Missy Elliott?
Yeah.
I bet you half of the people were like, who is this woman?
Yeah. It's really weird how MTV has like no idea who their audience actually is.
And then
like I could run MTV if I showed up tomorrow and was like, hey, it's Lara. Thank you for MTV. I'm gonna help you guys out.
It's my network now.
I'm gonna throw you a bone and we're gonna make MTV great again.
Oh my god. I mean they would be lucky to have you. I watched, there was some clip I was in my car and I checked my phone before I put it in park I checked my phone and I saw that because they were already doing red carpet arrivals at like 5 p.m
yeah,
and I was like, oh shit. And this that was a great story. I was like, oh shit,
oh shit.
All right, three out, they're on the red carpet. No, but they had some fucking post of some YouTuber who has billboards around LA called like Tana Moreau turns 21.
Oh my god, wait. I'm sorry.
Such a babe.
But
do you
I'm
love
going
her?
To come out.
Are
as
you a stan?
A full Tana stan.
You're a stan?
I am.
She married Logan Paul?
I know. I watched her vlog.
Or Jake Paul, sorry.
I watched her vlog the other day that was like her vlog about getting married. And I was like, because I've always just been firmly like anti-Tana, but I really haven't like fucked with anything in order to have that opinion. Like, I just know that she had like a lesbian fling with Bella Thorne.
She did?
Yeah, which I love. And I love Bella Thorne. So then I was like, you know what? I'm going to give Tana a chance.
It's Tana time.
And then it truly has been Tana time for me ever since.
That
I'm
is
like
wild.
Into her whole vibe.
I.
It's fascinating. It's truly, she lives one of the most chaotic lives I've ever seen.
I mean, their wedding was harrowing. I saw a video of it on Twitter and it was like.
It looked awful.
It looked horrible.
Like that is. It's
where did
like,
they get. They got married to like.
They
Where
got married
it?
At some rando, I guess, like, I don't know whose, it was some vague
like house.
A house in Vegas.
Yeah.
Every element of their wedding is like, if and you like, put that into a nightmare, it would be my worst nightmare.
I think like people from like could just go like walk up to it and be like, I'm here.
They got married in a house in Vegas that belonged to some rich guy that owns this house who painted the entire exterior of it white and spray painted their names all over it just for the wedding. Like people were spray painting his like the windows of his house, which was like impossible to get spray paint off windows. So I was like, he must just replace everything.
What witchcraft and like what darkness lies in that relationship?
I Some, like, can't tell if older it's guy. Just for how old is Jake Paul?
They're like 20.
She's 21
or 22 or something.
He's young, right?
He's garbage.
She could do a lot better than him.
I mean, bless her.
Whether you like her or not, we can all agree on one thing, is that she could do a lot better than Jake Paul. Jake
him
Paul
and his
is
brother.
Truly disgusting. Logan Paul, I'd fuck him. Jake Paul, not a chance. Jake Paul makes my skin crawl.
Yeah, I mean, he's terrible. Logan Paul is like,
Logan Paul's just like a hot dummy.
Yeah, like he's like someone you're just like, all right, let's just fuck.
Yeah.
But he's also,
I'm like,
but he looks like, okay, so when I used to swim,
Jake like Paul's head round, is like shaped like a brick.
Yeah, he has a square head. And when I used to swim, all year round, the guys, we would all get like gray hair from the chlorine, and the blonde guys, their hair became
green.
Like green and feathery. And Jake has, and he's like kind of, just his vibe is very like swimmer in like January.
His vibe is swimmer. I have a real feeling like his hair is gonna go soon.
Yeah, he's like, it's like
it seems like
low tide.
Yeah.
I'm not one
not
to talk.
That there's anything wrong
I'm
with
not
that.
One, I'm on Propecia.
Not that I judge that, I'm combating, but I'm just saying, hopefully, I mean, I'm sure he'll alleviate it.
We've talked
it,
about or, my hairline journey.
Yeah, or he can rock it. If yeah, that's what he I decides mean, he'll, to do.
He can do whatever.
He can go bald and have just like full-blown potato head, but like...
He also filmed a corpse, so...
Was it Jake that did that?
No, it was Logan. He filmed a dead person who committed suicide.
I know, that's pretty...
So... I don't think you can... You know, they say not to make fun of the way someone looks, but with him, I'm like, fuck this guy.
Look.
He filmed a person who had hanged themselves in the Japanese suicide forest.
I'm trying to
think
of some way to justify that act. I can't. It was bad.
It was.
It's not
good. He blocked me, too, on Twitter.
That's amazing.
Because he tweeted something.
He literally, and I watched like the video of him. It's just like. These are young idiots.
Yeah,
when
he didn't,
you were young,
you have a lot of money.
And if you had access to that kind of like money and platform, not saying like you would do this, but like I feel like a lot of us would probably have done these types of things.
We would film.
I wouldn't
film a corpse.
I wouldn't film a dead person and be like, oh my fucking god, there's a fucking man hanging in the tree.
There were also other
they
people
also
in that
terrorized
video.
All of Japan.
They yeah, they like went around in like Pokemon outfits, being like saying like really racist yeah. shit.
They were like Ching Chong. Yeah, it's like, can you get a grip?
There were also other people in that video. It wasn't just Logan Paul.
No,
there
they
was,
travel with a was, crew. They have like the most insane crew of people who like. I'm sure. I think they all have followings, so they all like collab, and then their views go up. But like.
They were in the forest, and they cut to two of his entourage. It was a girl and this guy, and they just went like, oh shit, like they were like covering their mouth, like they were like they just saw someone fart or heard someone fart. They were like, oh, there's a dead person
who someone
just
who
committed
handled their life anymore and said, what if you were came to the end of the line, you decided I actually can't take another day living on this earth. My life is torture every day. Like, I'm so depressed. It's never going to get better. I'm ending it. Like, this is it.
Going to the woods.
Goodbye. You go into the woods. You end your life. It's so sad. But at least you have the sweet release of death. And then Logan Paul and his crew come along and film a video. And your corpse is in the background hanging. And they're like, oh, shit. Like that, you kind of deserve that if you commit.
I hope they haunt. I hope whoever that was is haunting them.
Oh, I'm sure they're haunted by many a thing.
Yeah.
In a spirit.
I mean, it was. It's a wild. I mean, it's off.
It's insane. I don't. I've never. Seen,
I don't recommend. Look, I looked at it. I don't recommend it.
No, it's, I just. It was blurred, but like.
But they were like, "Oh shit!"
Yeah, it was
oh,
not great.
Fuck. But anyway, Tana
Mongeau. I can't really pronounce Mongeau. Her last name, but
she showed up to the red carpet with a snake, yeah. And MTV was like, she goes down, they're tweeted, she goes down in history with the rest of them, and it was Britney and Justin Bieber. And I was like, excuse me,
no.
They are not in Britney's company.
No.
Britney, like... I'm not even like I love Britney. I'm not like, but
Britney
I was
made, like
that...
iconic music that spoke to a generation of people.
Also, that performance is still one of the greatest live performances ever on TV.
Yeah,
do not. She does not share the space with Tana.
Tana Mongeau.
Mongeau.
But Tana Paul now.
And it's not her fault. She didn't tweet that.
It's not her fault. She's fine. She knows not what she does. I just am like
forgive
wow,
that mother.
Fucking chaotic life. Like, how do you? Do this, and then I was like, oh, you're 20 years old. Like, okay. I'm excited to grow with her now. I'm in. I'm all in.
Maybe I should be in.
I'm a full-blown Tana head.
You should have her on the pod.
I should. I was She'd like, I would it. Love to have her on the pod. Her, yeah. like, something about, I was just like, yes. I'm
do they
in.
Live together?
I don't know. It
think
seems
they hang
like,
out?
It seems like,
it seems
I don't know
fake.
If he can love anyone.
No.
Because I don't think he's, like, capable
no.
of that. But there's also, I guess, some sort of documentary about the Paul brothers that like deep dives into their family. That's like a long 8-part thing.
It's dark.
Yeah. Tracy Morrissey was like Insta-storying about it. And then I was like, wait, I need to watch this because I'm sure their lives are like dark as fuck.
Oh, really quick recommendation. On Hulu, there's this documentary called Jawline, is... I watched it. So I didn't know. Me and my boyfriend watched it. And we didn't know what it was going to be about. It was so beautiful and sad and like terrifying. And it's about the people who are trying to get, who are like somewhat famous online, but not to that level where they can live in LA.
Mm-hmm.
And it's there. This one guy who lives in Tennessee, and he's like 16. He doesn't want to go to school anymore. He's big on live streaming, like the live stream community,
mm-hmm.
where he just like lip syncs and does things, and all these teenage girls,
they love him,
are obsessed with him, and he's trying to get to this level of like the big wigs, the big dogs,
mm-hmm.
and it shows him trying to get out of Tennessee, and it's really sad, and his family doesn't have that much money, and like his mom is like, I really want you to stay in school, and he's like, no, I don't want to be in school, and his brother's like, I just want, who's older, is like, oh, it's
sounds devastating.
He like idolizes his little brother, and it's devastating. And this kid is really sweet. He's not like, you're not like this idiot. You're like this really sweet kid who's, this generation is like, I don't know. I mean, I hate to be one of those people that's like, they're lost, but you're, it's like
their priorities are backwards.
No, but it's
kind of are in a way.
We didn't have that when we were 16. We had something. Like I had Facebook when I was 16, but I didn't.
What I aspired to was always, it's like movie stardom was like everything, but that also feels like there's nothing that you can super do when you're young that can like propel you to that point.
Yeah.
And that's like so accessible as like just getting on YouTube and like having a channel or going online and getting attention.
And he goes on a tour at one point. I mean, I don't want to ruin it. It's just, it's crazy. But there's this one part that I will mention where he sees that like these big streaming stars do meetups,
mm-hmm.
where they'll just like show up in a public place and like hordes of girls will come. It's always like young, like twinkie looking guys.
Yeah.
And he just goes, hey guys, I'm going to do a meetup at the local mall. And like 12 girls show up,
mm-hmm.
and they're like crying over him, and they make him do things. Like they make him like ride like scooters around. They make him kiss them on the lips, and he does it. It's like really,
that's bizarre.
And they're like, give me your number. Let me have your number. Like, can I get your number? And like he does it because he's so desperate to have
fans.
Yeah. Damn. And it's like you're watching his be violent, like kind of his boundaries be totally.
Yeah.
Not, but it's like, it's weird to see like girls. I don't know. It was really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm adding that to my watch list.
Yeah. It's be ready.
I'm not spiritually ready for it yet, but I'll get there. Can we go back to the VMAs for a second though? What is the deal? Like, why is everyone so badly dressed at them? Is that part of the contract? It's like, is it like show up in the ugliest fucking outfit you can possibly scrape together?
The looks were trash.
The looks were not even like good trash.
Everyone looked terrible.
There was not one person that I was like, wow, you look great.
Missy looked great.
Missy, I mean, she
was too good.
No,
I mean, yeah, I thought she was
above
too good.
All of that.
But I mean, Taylor looked like.
Pass. She never has wowed me ever.
So, okay. I love her new album.
I haven't listened to it.
It's pretty good.
Okay.
It's a good album. So she's now like, I'm not like dragging her. I'm just trying to make, so she's now like fully like an LGBT crusader.
Yeah.
And she just, now her entourage is like drag queens and gay men.
Mm-hmm.
Like she was with like all the RuPaul people from the video.
Damn. And then she did a whole big, like, there was like a statement during her song.
Yeah. I didn't watch it, but like, so that's her now.
That's like her thing now. Yeah.
She's like a fag.
Like the most heteronormative person out there found her platform.
But remember, it was like, what happened to her? What, like, okay. What I wanted to know, and I wanted to talk to you about this.
Mm-hmm.
Gigi was there, but not with Taylor.
Yeah.
Are they not friends anymore?
No, later in the night, they were, like, her and Bella and Gigi were pictured together, like, hugging and smiling.
Do you think she's like, hey guys, I can't hang with you in public for a while. I have to hang with drag queens.
I think it's all very strategic and self-serving.
Like Todrick Hall.
I think they've been friends and like collaborative together for a long time.
Todrick
and
her?
He was the original like gay that she like brought into the fold. I think she listens and knows everything everyone ever says about her.
She does.
And she then takes that into account and then makes like strategy moves.
She storyboards
based on public opinion and feedback.
It's I've never seen anything like
it. And I think the public opinion and feedback of like her last album cycle was like, damn, this like petty bitch like won't give it up, but I guess we're here for her. I don't know. I guess the public feedback on her last album cycle was kind of like it didn't make that much of a splash, but she did really up the production value of her live show. Like, it wasn't just like her bringing famous people on the stage and then like having no real production value of her concert.
Right.
But like,
it was like a spectacle.
It was a spectacle. And
did
I think,
see it?
No, but I saw enough like footage of it and stuff to be like, damn, she really like put in the work to make this like a show.
Right.
But before that, everyone was so mad at her because it was like, why are you staying silent? Like, you're just trying to not ruffle people's feathers, like take a stand on something. So I feel like she went into like the hub and then storyboarded, like, what can I take a stand on that's like feels right for me, but isn't like, I don't know. It just feels all, everything she does feels really calculated.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm happy that she's using her platform for that, like for any, for, you know, women's issues, LGBT issues. Like, she's definitely anti-Trump, which is
cool.
She could influence a lot next year, which is good. But yeah, it just feels like really like, oh, so now we're just okay.
She just can't win, really. Like, everything. But I think that's also because she just doesn't come across as like that genuine of a person. But just, I think she's always just been like dying to be popular, dying to be accepted. And now she's in a power position where she has so much money. She's so famous that she can reach out to anyone and be like, do you want to be friends? And they would say yes. Like, if she reached out to me and was like, want to hang out, I'd be like, fuck yeah, I'm canceling my day. And like, it's you and me, Tay. But like, there's no. So it's like,
remember that Rolling Stone article from the 1989 era when she was like, one day I asked these girls to hang out and they all said no. And then I went to the mall with my mom and I saw them all there, like hanging out without me. And my mom said, come on, honey, we're going to go to the better mall. And I was like, and then we went to the better mall, like the nicer mall, mm-hmm. like to get. And I was like, oh my God, Taylor has been looking for the better mall since 1989.
Yeah. Since way before that.
Yeah.
Since like, she was like in high school. She still has like, she has like.
No, chips. I mean the year 1989.
Oh, I was like.
Well, maybe well before that. Yeah. Who knows how old she is?
Her spirit is constantly, her life karma or like her spirit's like karmic journey is always that over and over.
I'm into her being like a force. Like she's, I'm in, even though I'm like, I'm sus of the strategizing, everyone has to strategize and I'm realistic about it, but I'm kind of into it. I'm like, wow, she's like, she really is listening. She's like Big Brother. She's listening. She scrolls through Tumblr apparently,
mm-hmm.
sees what her fans are, you know, saying about her.
Yeah.
She's aware of everything. I wrote an article once for paper where I jokingly said that she storyboarded her vacation to Europe with Tom Hiddleston with like a hive, and within an hour I had to take it down.
Damn.
An hour. Me at a very small independent, like, it was not.
Yeah. I feel like she's definitely watched Please Welcome to the Stage.
For
and
sure.
And hates it.
Well.
And probably hates me. But like, so if anything bad happens in my career, I blame Taylor.
No, I mean, I've...
No, but I would be friends with her.
I would be friends
with
her. I have
no chip on my shoulder against her. I'm just like, whatever, you do you.
She's nice. She goes... She, like... She shows the fuck up for her fans.
She shows up to weddings. She upped her like live performance thing. She gives the fans what they want.
No, but she
makes good music.
She like goes to like baby showers of like random fans. Like yeah. I knew some guy who got engaged and like Taylor showed up his engagement party and like serenaded them because mm-hmm. he's like a big fan of hers. Like she shows the fuck up.
She cares.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah.
She cares about something.
She cares about something. And I respect that I don't know what it is.
But I'm also like, can you just get over the Kim and Kanye thing already?
Yeah.
Like, get over it.
Yeah. Apparently, this first song on the album kind of sounds like the theme song for the Kardashians. Like,
sure
you know that. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Have you seen it?
No.
Okay, never mind.
But I'm sure.
It's like very like Kanye, evoking Kanye. And I wondered if it was a dig at them. And I was like, Jesus.
Like, let it go.
But I will say one thing on the LGBT part.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor. So now we're all like, okay, cool. She's like, she's a fierce LGBT
she's
warrior.
She's our ally, yeah.
I'm sorry. But like, even if it was strategizing, Gaga, for instance, has been ride or die.
Out the gate.
Since before she was.
Yeah.
And she knows that, like, the gays, as long as she's got the gay, you know, like, I think pop stars know that if you get the LGBT people, you're like.
Mm-hmm.
And she was smart, but she's walked the talk.
Yeah.
And she's been there since the beginning. And I sometimes feel like people like her don't get enough credit. I mean, even Katy Perry, like, these people have
I know
been,
that's
like,
what I was thinking too, is like Katy Perry did this long before Taylor,
and like Britney has been always like a gay ally, like, you know, it's mm-hmm. It's kind of like you can't, but I guess she's so powerful, doesn't even matter, people just are like whatever. Yeah,
but the gays I think have kind of across the board like love Taylor, like they've always been into her even if she hasn't been like vocally supportive of them.
I haven't always been into her, but yeah. I got really, I remember she like,
or I should say, like, I feel like she's always had a big gay audience.
Oh, for sure. I mean, yeah. I've always like, if ever I was listening to her, like I liked 1989. I listen whenever she's on, mm-hmm. but like, I've never been like a Swiftie.
Yeah. I've never really listened to any of her. I know songs from her albums and stuff, but I haven't really listened to like albums of hers all the way through.
Yeah.
I feel like because they like weren't on Spotify. So I was like, whatever, bitch. Like, I'm not.
Yeah. I mean, she's like the FDR of pop music. She's like beloved, but fierce, fearsome. She's vindictive. She punishes.
I'm terrified of her.
Yeah.
I saw her. I stood next to her at Gaio Siri's Oscar party. And. Who? Madonna's manager who throws like an Oscar party. I went to like Elton John's Oscar viewing party.
Wow.
As a plus one. I was plus one to like chic Oscar events and then ended up standing next to Taylor. And I was just like,
you're about the same height, right?
We're like pretty much exactly the same height. She's stunning. I was just like, oh my God, she's so beautiful. But then I was like, I was also like, so I was pretty drunk. And then I was like, I really hope that she doesn't like recognize. I was like,
did
I'm
she
not.
Say anything to you?
No. And I was too like, you know, when you've gotten drunk and you're just like, I can't actually interact with anyone that I don't know well anymore.
Nothing that comes out of my mouth is going to be good.
I'm going to make a bad impression on anyone except for my nearest and dearest and their nearest and dearest. But I can't like go out of my way to like make a good impression on anyone. It's not going to happen. Not tonight, Shane Halls.
Not tonight, Shane Halls.
Not tonight.
I wonder how that would, like, I wonder if, like, if I had been, I'd just be like, oh my God, Taylor, I love you. I feel like she would just be like, thank you.
I wish that.
Aw, thanks.
That was one of the last nights that I really, like, partied that hard. And because I woke up the next day and, like, felt really bad about, like, the level of drinking that I engaged in.
It's the Oscars.
Whatever. And then. But I would do that night differently. And I would have, had I done it differently and not been like creepy drunk, I would engage with Taylor and just be like, you rock. I don't know what I'd say. But I would want like some sort of.
I've been in those positions where like where I was like rolling or something in New York and I would see someone that was like.
Yeah, I think I was rolling too. It was a double combo that then went into like creepy.
Yeah.
But I did. That's when I like grabbed Leonardo DiCaprio, and I was like, this is your year, because he had just won the Oscar. I felt like I could like.
What did he say?
He's like, thank you.
Oh,
a gentleman.
LD.
Mm-hmm. LD. The only LD you need to know. Larry David, who?
Who? I was rolling once and I saw someone that was famous, and they had a really cool coat on.
Mm-hmm.
And I just went up to him and I was like, I need to feel, can I please coat? And he went, yeah.
Love that.
And he let me do it. And then he was like, just walked away. And I was like, thank you.
That's great.
He knew what I needed in that moment.
Who was it?
Oh, it was Magic Johnson's son.
Oh.
He was wearing this incredible fur coat.
EJ.
That was like vast. And he was right next to me. And I just wanted to like, I think he knew I was.
He's always pulling a real look together.
He looked amazing.
The last time I was at Erewhon, he was strolling out, shopping bags in hand in a high heel. I was like, yes. I was like, today's a good day.
I love that that's Magic Johnson's son.
I know. It's really powerful.
And he's like so cool. Like he's so supportive of him.
Yeah.
That's a cool family.
It's cool.
He gave me what I needed in that moment, and I appreciated that. But I feel like I've... Oh, there was another guy who I won't name.
He gave you what you needed, but then you were able to set a boundary, or he was set his boundary.
He set a boundary, and I was
disengage
like...
Disengage, and you respected the boundary.
Respected it, and yeah. That was that. But I had another time where I was on... Where I was Nunca. I was in that territory.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at a... I won't name him, because I think you know him. But I went up to him, and he's not even that famous, but he's like well-regarded. And mm-hmm. I went up to him, and I was like, I think we know... I think you know people I know. And he was like, what? And I was like, yeah. And I like said it. I was like, you're blank, you know, blank, blank. And he goes.
And yeah, I told me who, and it's not even really like a famous person.
No, but like it was like.
But it was, you were coming like from a place of Nunca.
He was gamest.
Yeah.
And I was like.
Gamest, I like that.
And I was like, you're who you are. And he went. He went, how do you know who I am?
Oh.
He's like, that's weird. And he walked, or he's like, that's weird that you know that I know that person, or something like really.
Mm.
And I was like,
oh, no. There's nothing worse than being in a place of Nunca and then like trying to like connect with another person that you don't know that well. But like a person that may or may not be famous, and you're like having like a fanny weird moment with them, you're better off. Like if you are in that place, you find yourself in a place of Nunca.
Take yourself outside.
Yeah. Get your,
have a say.
Get yourself out of there. Get out of there.
Get out of there. And I've been in a place.
You'll be glad that you got out of there.
I know people who know you.
Yeah. It's never ended well when I've done any of that ever. Leo was the best case scenario. But
he was a gentleman.
He was a gentleman, and you know, it was a brief encounter.
But I know people who I've had those moments. I've bordered on place of Nunca even in sobriety. Like where I'm like at something and I'm like, I know something about someone that I don't know, and I'm like watching them, and there's a part of me that's like, what if you just went up to them right now and went, I know who you are.
It's like Tony when he goes, I take him to the dog park, and some dogs, he just is like so all about sniffing their fucking genitals, and he gets them from the side, he gets in there, and then he just starts air humping, and then it's just like out of control, like his body is just like humping in the air, and I call it his friendship dance because I read about it, and it's not even like a sexual
thing.
It's just about, it's a tension release and like a wanting to play.
He wants to connect.
But that's what you are like when you go up to someone and come from a place of Nunca. You're basically air humping.
But I want to go, but there have been moments where I'm like, what if I could just go up to this person right now and be like, I've seen your posts, I've seen your cousin's posts, like I know about your aunt, you know, like just like stuff like on there, like because I've looked at your Instagram and
I know everything about you.
I've thought about you before, and not in a weird way, just because I'm looking at you, and I've wondered about your connections, you know.
Yeah, I saw like
Haven't you ever wanted to do that?
Just absolutely.
Not like, but like, there's a part of you that's like, don't do it. Don't do it.
I was at Trader Joe's a couple days ago and saw like a couple, like this lesbian couple that's like insta-famous to me. And like, they had just recently gotten engaged and like, I've like followed their journey.
Love.
And then I saw them there just like in kind of just like, their shitty Trader Joe's. Yeah. Like in like shitty grocery shopping clothes, like I was wearing. It was like, they're just like me. I was like, they got into their, like, they're not even like looking so glam. Like, they're just here. Like, should I just like go and say something to that? Like, should I congratulate them on their engagement? Like, and then I was like, Shane Alds, get out of here. Get out of here.
What if you went up to them and just went, you're just like me?
I thought it was
just like me.
They're just like me. They're just like me. I was like,
same clothes.
There's so many things that I could have said that it was just, it's like, no, no one wants to be interrupted while they're grocery shopping by a creep that's like, they don't know, who's like, do I have your engaged? Oh my God. And like, your hair has been on my like vision board for like hair colors. And I just love it.
Oh God, it makes me so happy.
But I did like get close to them and then have a moment where I'd be like, oh, excuse me, sorry. Like, that was like my, I can never fully resist.
It was a little nunca.
It was borderline nunca.
I love
but it
that.
Didn't go.
It's on my vision board. It's trailing off and they're like,
they are leaving, okay. Checking out of the grocery store as I'm just like, ooh. In the egg section, like, near the yogurt.
You're making like a face like, ah. You like seize.
They're like slowly walking away and they finish their
shop. Well,
that's
the thing about Instagram, like social media. Here's a hot take. That's the thing about social media that's like, it's weird because it's like you see people who are like not like Taylor famous, but like you're like,
micro famous. Like, my social media has birthed micro fame, which is like, you can have a lot of fans but not be famous.
And it's like, when you see, and but you still have to like when you're out and you see that, like when you see like an Instagram insta couple that you're like, you still have to like have that celeb boundary, but it feels like more,
feels like you could just like, be able, you're just like, hey, like,
hey,
it's like,
it's
not,
me.
Yeah, it's not okay.
Hey, it's me. Hey,
it's me, Lara. I just wanted to say congratulations on your engagement.
Best wishes
to you. Saw that you got engaged.
And are you gonna do the Dale voice?
It's very Dale. I go full Dale. Hey, when a les comes into the mix, hey. It brings out butch Lara.
Hey. Congrats to you and yours.
I hope you have a beautiful wedding.
I hope you have a beautiful wedding. I love the vision board.
You're the vision board. But yeah. That being said, I love when people come up to me and say they recognize
me. I'm fucking down.
No matter where I am.
Yeah. If you
ever see me anywhere, please approach.
Yeah. No, I love it. I mean, I was at Gaga and one of the, and a very kind reader came up to me and was like, love what you and Laura are doing. And I was like, hey.
I fucking love it.
It was great.
I love it.
So, always into that.
Never gets old.
But anyway.
Yeah. I just have to really keep myself.
Even not, like, even just people that I just know through friends.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that guy that I was, like, embarrassed myself with, like, he's not, like, I just know people that know him. And I could have just been like, oh, I think, which is probably creepy in itself, but I just went about it all wrong. But, like, even,
yeah,
like,
I just went about it all wrong.
But I've, like, seen people out where I'm like, oh, I've, like, totally spent, like, an hour on your page.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just scrolling.
Yeah.
I've looked at your,
I know things about you.
I know things about your family. I know things about like your friends.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have been on vacations with you. Haven't looked at your stories because I don't want you to know I was looking, but
oh yeah, true.
Anyway. Speaking of, that's a ghoulish moment.
It's a ghoulish moment.
A good transition.
Speaking of ghouls, there's a lot to talk about in this week's episode.
This week's episode of Gallery Girls.
It's a fucking roller coaster out there in the streets of New York.
So we pick up fresh. It's the night, the day after the end of Century Party from the premiere episode.
Yeah. I love in the recap of last week's, it just has Amy also shouts everything she says.
Uh-huh.
So it's like going through everything that people had done in last week's episode. And then Amy is like, I love fashion. I love glamour. I love a long eyelashes. And it's just like, God, can you calm down for 1 second?
In case you didn't watch last episode, this girl is annoying.
She's
That's
wild.
The production.
Yeah. So yeah.
So we come up, it's morning, it's like really early, aka 10 a.m. And Claudia is just arriving at End of Century.
EOC.
She's
opening it after a rager of a party.
They zoom in on a red solo cup, which I love.
And like,
it's trash.
It's trash. She's like, it smells like a frat house. There's wine stains like on the walls, like the closet. They've like thrown a curtain in there.
I feel like there's like cigarette butts.
Yeah. It's like, I'm sure all the clothes smell bad.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Also, the paintings.
Yeah.
Aren't you supposed to like cover them from fumes?
Yeah, good point.
Can't they erode?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's weird that no one stayed behind and like cleaned up after the party.
Why did they have...
Also, like, when are they... What are their hours?
Well, we'll get to that because there's a point of contention about that. But like, yeah. My question was like, why are they having... Like, I get like a gallery has like wine and stuff, but like, this felt like a rager. Like, just go to a bar. Like, why didn't they just rent out...
They
like
want people to
bar.
Come in and see the space.
I know,
and then
like,
I think they're probably trying to sell stuff during the party.
That's true. But
so like people get kind of drunk like and then yeah. buy some stuff.
But that didn't seem like the vibe. It seemed like
no, it
Chantal
seemed like our friend.
Party.
Like, we have a fucking store now. Let's fucking party.
Yeah, it's like we're in a cool loft.
Yeah.
It's like we're in a warehouse. We're
come to our store.
It felt like the wrong kind of like if they wanted.
Also, with their crowd of friends, I don't think are the right people to be, like, selling your wares to.
No, it wasn't... If they wanted to do, like, a party where they get people loose to feel, like, loose with their wallets, have, like, just some wine, like, a normal gallery party where people are just drunk off wine, mm-hmm. and they have people there, like... They could have planned this better. I was thinking they could have had, like, they could have hired, like, a security person just to, like, be...
To be a little more like
the paintings and the outfits.
Hire a cleaning crew.
Hire a fucking cleaning.
Hire
service.
Like a caterer or like people to pass drinks or something.
But as we know, they're SOL with funds.
No, it's not looking good from the jump.
Chantal or Claudia says, if Chantal doesn't show up, I'm driving to her house and killing her. Which
yeah.
I thought was great.
That's great. Claudia spends 2.5 hours scrubbing off wine stains and like getting the store ready, but I don't know if she's getting it ready to be open or just she's like, we're gonna take a day off and like clean the store.
I think maybe she thought it was gonna be ready and then she was like, we're gonna have to take a mental health day.
Yeah,
it's like when I got hired when I was in a really dark phase before I got sober.
Mm-hmm.
I was starting a new job and I missed my first day of work because I was
too fucked up. Too
I hadn't stopped.
Nunca out.
I missed my first day of work. Like it was the fact that they didn't just fire me. Like they were nice to even let me come, but whatever. But anyway, that I was thinking of that.
These things happen. But also it's just like, it's like you're giving a child a loaded gun to play with. Like, they don't have their shit together enough to really understand what it takes to, like, make a store happen.
No, and it's like, when I was little, I used to always want my parents to get me a town for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a play town. Like, I wanted Santa to bring me a town that I could fit in.
Yeah.
And when I didn't get it, I stopped believing in Santa. But,
fair.
Like, they're playing, like, town.
Yeah.
We're playing
it's
store.
Also, weirdly... Like, what? They're in debt $15,000? Like, $15,000 to $18,000?
15.
That seems cheap to open a store and then, like, stock it. But I guess you just have to pay rent and bills.
Yeah, but it's Lower East Side in 2012 was not that much cheaper than it is now.
Yeah. Like a storefront is not, like, a cheap thing to rent.
No. That was... I'm unclear.
Like, Have they gotten another, like, did they get more than 15,000? Or, like, I wish we could see the balance sheet.
Yeah, 15,000 is the number they keep referring. I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me. I feel like that in that neighborhood, that storefront would be like double that.
Yeah.
Maybe
for
more.
For 1 month.
Yeah, for like a day.
Yeah. Chantal
arrives
with Spencer.
With her boyfriend at 12:30. And she walks in and says, good morning.
And then she says, I've had a good night's sleep. I did yoga. I had French press coffee. And now I'm ready for work.
The way she speaks is like, she should just do ASMR.
Yeah. She is an ASMR queen.
She walks in and she walks into the place and she goes, ugh. Like, she did this.
Yeah.
She's just
disgusted by it.
And it's already like... You see the dynamic where she is really good at making Claudia think like it's her fault.
Mm-hmm. And Claudia internalizes it.
Yeah.
And then like kind of like Claudia is always trying to make Chantal happy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really, it's toxic a dynamic friendship. That works really well for Chantal.
Oh yeah.
And has destroyed, eats Claudia from the inside out.
Chantal has like Molly face.
Chantal.
She has like, looked like she has done.
A lot of Molly.
Yeah.
Like, in this specific day.
No, like the night before.
Yeah.
She looks...
Well, she needed her morning routine, it sounds like, yeah. In order to have any sort of day that would be successful ahead of her.
And her weird boyfriend, who's just, like, follows her around.
I like Spencer.
You do?
I mean, he's really, like, a beta boyfriend, but, like, he's...
He's cute.
Cute, and he seems to really like her. And yeah, treats her like a queen, so I'm happy for them. But then Chantal and Claudia have like a really confusing conversation where they're trying to decide like what days of the week they'll work at the store.
Chantal wants to work 2 days a week.
So does Claudia.
Do they have like a skeleton crew or something? Like, are they just like the owners who like don't work all the time and they have like a staff?
Maybe they've hired like retail associates or something.
But they don't have enough money for that.
It's all really, it's not coming together.
Chantal literally is like, so I'm leaving soon, she says. Which
Chantal goes, I have to leave soon, and she just got there.
Yeah, and she goes, I thought she was talking about like, I'm going out of town or something.
Like,
she
was like, I thought she was just like leaving for the day.
Oh.
Like, she showed up and then she was like, I gotta go soon. Like,
basically, they found a cupcake.
They found a half-eaten cupcake, like tucked in a corner somewhere.
Great.
So... They can't agree on which days they're going to work.
Sorry.
They can't agree on committing to 16-hour work weeks between the two of them.
And Chantal's like, so I'll take Tuesday and Thursday, because she clearly doesn't want to work on the weekend.
No.
And Claudia's like, it would probably be better if you worked Fridays. And she's like, we'll figure
Claudia's
it out.
And Claudia's like, well, I guess I have no problem like working on a Friday. And it's like, bitch, like, this is your job.
You should, for the first year...
Shouldn't you just be there and, like, want to be there if you have opened, like, this place and, like, care about it a lot?
Yeah, it's...
It's really bizarre.
It's crazy, because if you were doing this the right way, you would be there 7 days a week, all day, and leave, like... especially for the first year, when you're building up your revenue, like, they should be there every single day.
Imagine if you were Claudia's parents and you're watching the show and you're like, oh my God, I made the hugest mistake giving this my daughter just like unlimited resources to start this like silly side project.
It's a store.
A store.
In Manhattan.
Yeah.
It's not like they're in like Bushwick.
It's not like they're in a hometown, like rural Illinois,
yeah.
Like opening a little shop. This is like a store.
They're not even in Brooklyn.
No.
They're in like a really...
The island of Manhattan.
Which is... It's unlivable.
It's dog eat dog out there.
Dog eat dog. So...
So Chantal leaves and then she goes, bye, Claudie.
Bye, Claudie. And then she goes, I just don't stress.
Bye, Claudie was also a gaslight.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Everything's fine. It was akin to, you okay, Claude?
You okay, Claude?
Bye, Claudie.
Bye, Claudie.
Like, so happy and chipper,
yeah,
which Chantal is never.
Claudia's, like, mopping, and she, like, Like, where's Chantel going?
I don't know. She has places to be.
She's going to see a movie.
She always has places to be. She's probably just going back home.
To sleep.
Or going shopping.
Yeah. They're going to get drunk.
Yeah. Maggie gets ready to go to her terrible internship.
Okay. We just need to say something first. Maggie lives in Murray Hill.
Yeah.
Which is...
What's the deal with Murray Hill? Is it like low tip of Manhattan?
No, it's like in between downtown and midtown. And it's like this weird in-between space where like mostly bros and the women that date them live.
Why do bros live there?
I don't know. It's like there's lots of sports bars. It's like very fratty. It's like the people who didn't transcend college live there.
Okay.
And I'm saying it. And if you live there, I'm sorry.
I've always heard that. I've always heard it.
It's true.
You can't argue with a fact.
I mean, there's some nice places there. Like, I know I've been in some nice apartments there of people who are really cool and like.
But it's just like.
It's like. It's weird. Yeah, it's weird.
Okay. I'm glad to know.
Yeah.
Thanks for clarifying that.
You're welcome.
So she lives in Murray Hill.
Every time I was in Murray Hill, I was confused.
Yeah, it sounds confusing. I don't get a sports bar in New York. Like, that doesn't make me feel good.
Yeah, I just like...
Like, it doesn't add up to me. Like, I don't think of New York as like a place where you could go to a sports bar.
Yeah, it's a strange place.
I don't think of LA as a place really where you could go to a sports bar, yet they exist. But
they
like
do.
Chicago, I think like
Philly
feels sports bar-y. Philly feels sports bar-y.
The South. Long Island, as
yeah,
we see.
Yeah, Long Island, for sure. But like Manhattan, it feels like so wrong to see a sports bar there.
Murray Hill was always like a place I just walked through, like when I was like drunk.
Sounds like the Midtown.
It is.
Sounds like it is just as confusing as the Midtown.
It's like Midtown East and Murray Hill to me are like, every time I was in there, I was like, what?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, there's a big Duane Reade. It's like a place where I go to find... Murray Hill is like a place where I go into like a deli to buy like a 12-foot long phone charger and then and then cry.
Classic.
That's like what I think of Murray Hill. Like.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's Murray Hill.
So Maggie lives there with her like bro boyfriend, Ryan.
They live together.
Do they live together?
I don't think they live together.
Oh.
I think she like just met him.
Oh. She lives
alone
in like a tiny Murray Hill apartment.
Yeah. She was like.
Her life just is like. Not great. And I'm also like wanting to reach through the TV and being like, you actually don't have to go to this internship anymore.
Yeah, she's like, I'm really nervous. I really need to like make a good impression again. Like, I need
you could put this internship on your resume and use this person as a reference without ever showing up ever again. You've worked there for a year.
But as we know.
But the plot thickens.
So she shows up and
she's just like, when she smells her coffee and she goes, it smells good. I was just like, oh my
there's
God.
Something off with this girl. I'm really confused by her.
I think she's just like living in a constant state of trauma.
Yeah. There's moments where I'm like, she genuinely, it makes me laugh out loud. Like, she's funny.
She's funny.
But then other moments where I'm not sure, like, she's in there.
I think
I'm
she
like,
disassociates.
Yeah. But she... She talks really quiet.
Yeah. She's always muttering to herself.
Yeah. So she heads to Eli's art gallery. Liz is at the front desk. She walks in and she's like, this is bullshit.
I've worked here for a year.
And I'm not even allowed to sit at the front desk. She's been there for like a week.
Yeah.
Liz is just like,
hey.
Hi. Like, just typing.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing he does in front of Liz, the other intern, is you need to go sort out. We need to go put water into a
dog bowl
and set it outside for the dogs passing by. And you need to lift one of those horrible water coolers up on its side.
Yeah.
And Liz is just like, yeah. And she does it.
Maggie cannot deal, though. Also, the show does a really good job of highlighting various people's like incompetence. Because like, if someone tells you, like, put water in the dog bowl, it's like, go over to the sink, pour out the old water, rinse the dog bowl and put water in there and then take it back outside. Like, it's not that tough. There has to be like a bathroom. There's got to be a sink in there somewhere where you could do it.
Yeah.
But then it's like, she's like trying to fill it up with like the Arrowhead water or whatever. And it's like, don't, what? And she's like, I can't, Eli, like what? And it's like, no, what, like, what is this? This is another form of like flirting kind of.
Yeah. She likes to be, I think she likes being in this position.
She likes being like, she's like kind of into like humiliation. Like
it's like 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah. And then she's like, oh, it's going to take 10 years of like filling up a cup of water and pouring it in the dog bowl. I'm like, no, it takes like 10 seconds.
And
I'm
all the time,
you figured it out.
All the time, Liz is just watching. So then Maggie, after she does this and is like humiliated, she has to go back and like sort out
grocery bags
for dogs.
Yeah. Use as like poop bags.
Yeah. And then Liz and Eli are outside, like, having a nice combo about dogs.
Yeah, they're, like, trolling. Uh-huh. They're like, my dog loves water. Liz is like, oh, my God, my dog loves water. And Eli's like, yeah, I mean, mine, like, my dogs, like, love ice. And she's like, yeah, ice is great. And then he's like, no, like, my dogs eat them like a treat. And she's like, oh, wow. And it's just like, okay.
The worst combo I've ever heard.
It's a terrible combo, but, like.
And Maggie's in the back, like, just watching them, like.
Maggie's like, it's hot in here. Yeah. Like, she can't... I'm like, Maggie, you're stronger than this.
She just looks like she has a cold.
Yeah, she's like a little sickly and like...
She has like...
She needs to get out of this hell that's this internship.
She has spiritual mono.
And maybe she would have gotten out of it if she didn't have to film a Bravo reality show about
it. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, but it's like... It's
she made a deal with the devil.
Yeah, it's bad for her.
And Liz does say, like, I feel bad for this girl. Like, yeah, she's
like, I like Maggie. Yeah. Like, and they get along well.
Yeah, they end up being friends. But
like, Liz would never be... I mean, she's just in a power and a privilege position because she would just never get fucked with like that from Eli. And, like, she probably just doesn't have to work if she doesn't want to work.
No. Wait, what was the last thing that happened with Maggie?
She's just, like...
She's just sorting out trash bags.
She's, like, tying grocery bags into a knot and, like, hating her life. Sorry, babe.
It's amazing.
It's really good.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Nothing gives me naked confidence like being freshly showered, hair blown out, makeup on, putting on my favorite perfume.
Nothing gives me naked confidence quite like getting my parking validated at Equinox after a well-earned workout.
A very close second would be Lumi Whole Body Deodorant. Unlike certain other deos, Lumi is powered by mandelic acid to deliver outrageous 72-hour odor control everywhere, from your pits to your feet.
And yes, even your privates. In fact, it was patients' concerns about private part odor that originally inspired the OBGYN who invented Lumi.
Flash forward 6 years, and her game-changing whole body deo has earned over 300,000 five-star reviews from people who love feeling confident from head to toe.
New customers get $5 off Lumi's starter pack with code SUP at LumiDeodorant.com. I love Lumi because as a gay man, you need to have your taint smelling fresh as fuck. So with one roll of Lumi, I'm ready to get out there and own the world.
What I love most about Lumi is that it's multi-purpose. It saves its customers money because you're not buying all these different products for different body parts. You can just boil it all down to one super product that takes care of any of your odor issues.
Whole body deodorant with Lumi, seriously safe to use anywhere on your body. Your pits, your underboobs, thigh folds, belly buttons, butt cracks, vulvas, and feet.
It's clinically proven to block odor all day and control over up to 72 hours.
And it's baking soda free and paraben free.
Plus, it's pH balanced for safe use below the belt.
Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice like mini body wash and deodorant wipes, and free shipping.
As a special offer for listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with the code SUP at LumiDeodorant.com. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit LumiDeodorant.com and use the code SUP.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, Princess Diana. But that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Disintel, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers. Stretching back into the history of the British monarchy, did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Disintel on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Are you ready to win Mother's Day and cement your reputation as the best gift giver in the family? Give the moms in your life an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos, and you will rise to the top of the heap, and you will be deified and worshipped for the rest of your days walking this planet.
Because as anyone who has siblings know, that's the only goal on Mother's Day is to be the favorite.
And if you're an only child, you're still competing with all your other extended family members, and it's important to wage a war and come out on top.
If you're an only child, you're also at war with yourself.
So what you can do is get your mother or the preeminent mother figure in your life an Aura frame. You load it up with photos. It's literally the easiest thing to do. And I know that you might be thinking, ew, digital frames are bleak, but I'm telling you, this Aura frame is chic.
And the best part is it has unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, so you can keep updating your mother or mother figure's frame with new photos. So it's the gift that keeps on giving and uploading.
I gave my mom an Aura frame, and she had resisted for so long because she's truly anti-technology, like barely even understands right. How to FaceTime. And I said, just let me. And I set it all up for her. I plugged it in. I fired up the app. I preloaded pictures on it, and now she's so into it that she figured out how to preload pictures and even runs it from her app, which is truly saying a lot because she refuses to download apps. She thinks everyone's spying on her, stealing her data, and the fact that I was able to break through and she literally loves this frame, like loaded it up with pictures of her cat, I was like, we did it, Joe. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off, plus free shipping on their best-selling frame.
That's AuraFrames.com. Use code SUP at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Carrie meets her boss at a Nespresso
cafe, which is wild. All those little pods in the wall behind her. It's just like I can't think of Nespresso without thinking of just like landfills. And like,
what do you mean?
All those pods just end up in like landfills. They're like not biodegradable.
Oh.
So they just like float in the ocean like sea turtles.
They're
like,
on Trash Island.
Yeah.
Have you heard of Trash Island?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Like,
Island, my favorite place.
Trash Island is like.
I live for Trash Island.
Explain what it is for people who don't know.
Trash Island is. Is it a landfill?
No,
it's all the trash, all the currents of the ocean
world.
Kind of work in a way where all the trash, you know, sometimes in a pool where like all like gross hair will suddenly be together in a lump in the middle of the pool. You're like, how did this happen? So disgusting. That's Trash Island, but with like all the trash of the entire world, just covering like the
South Pacific or something.
I don't know exactly where. I actually don't know that much about Trash Island, except that I love it. And by love it, I mean it's terrifying.
It's really scary, and I think it's in the South Pacific, or it's like halfway between here and Hawaii or something.
Yeah.
But it's like a floating mass of
garbage. That has either gotten into the sea or people have just thrown into the sea.
Yeah.
And Nespresso pods are like they're real Trash Island material. I'm saying that as someone that loves Nespresso. Like, I had an espresso machine. Oh, God. I got gifted an espresso machine. And then, in a magical twist, my the person that was living in this apartment before me moved out, and she was like, do you want like all these Nespresso pods? So she left like 40 Nespresso pods here. And I was like, jackpot. And then just like drank Nespresso. Like my life depended on it for like a week.
Oh, it's so good.
It's so good. It's delicious.
Did you finish all of it in a week?
I finished all of it so fast because it was just like, oh my God, it's so easy. You put the pod in, just boom, yeah. And it comes out so yummy. It's like going to the coffee store. And then like I ran out. And then I went online to like see if I could order it. And then I was like, wait, this is like $70 to get like all the Nespresso pods I want.
I love Nespresso. I had them in Brooklyn. It's too expensive.
So then I just like never used the Nespresso machine again.
My roommate had it and I just loved hearing it. Bubble, bubble, bubble.
Ooh, it's so good when it comes out just like creamy, foamy. It's like, But then it goes to Trash Island.
It goes
directly into a landfill, or it's like burned and then you breathe it in, you get cancer.
We're going to do a podcast about Trash Island.
We've got to. Mm-hmm. We simply must.
We should go there.
Yeah.
Go fund us to go to Trash Island.
I mean, contribute to the Patreon. If I reach $20,000 a month on Patreon, I will charter a helicopter to take Carrie and I to Trash Island.
And we'll help clean it up. We'll help raise awareness for it.
We'll podcast live from Trash Island. The whole podcast will be us screaming with a helicopter in the background.
Crashing waves.
Yeah, being like, oh my God, we're here at Trash Island. I'm so fucking scared right now.
We got what we wanted.
Down to the we'll rappel down. We'll bring a piece of trash back for
like, proof.
Yeah, for proof.
We'll expose Trash Island for what it is.
Yeah.
So Carrie's meeting her. Carrie's in wealth management, so she just basically is like rich people's bitch, and yeah. Like goes to various rich families around New York, and you know, gets them catering, helps them with like day to day shit. She's like a butler, kind of.
She's not in wealth management.
She is, right?
Or she's in like lifestyle management.
Okay, so Carrie, what Carrie does for a living is she manages rich people.
Yeah, she manages
the day to day. Goings on of rich people, I think.
Well, she just like does them favors.
Yeah,
she does like a very unclear thing, but that's a very like 2000s thing.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows, really?
Who and knows?
Who cares? Because this conversation is truly the most boring thing I've ever heard.
His name? Like Tony.
His name is Tony. It was just boring. Her boss is really supportive. She's good at her job. And her boss is like, it's great that you have an internship. Like, you're going to have to work hard. And then, like...
He's like, a lot of sleepless nights.
I want you to go to Basel and, like, shit for me.
So they've clued in that we're going to go to Art Basel this season.
Yeah. And it's like, Carrie, in scenes like this, is, like, very boring. But that's a good thing for her because it means her life is, like, actually stable. And she, like...
And she's not going to look bad on the show.
No. I, side note, found... I always want to call her Jill, and it's not Jill, it's Liz. I found Liz on Instagram, and she posted a recent picture of her and Carrie together.
Really?
And I was happy. Yeah, it made me happy.
Whoa. So they've had like a bond.
Yeah.
Wow.
I love that.
I need to follow. I found Angela's Instagram.
Oh, Angela's like, ashes.
She's chic.
She is chic.
And she, yeah, anyway. So she's like, she's going to pursue Cheryl's Instagram or Sharon's internship even harder.
Yeah,
with Tony's blessing,
gonna really like lean into it and like kill it.
So
the EOC girls and Angela.
Oh my God! They go to Huckleberry Bar, which used to be around the corner from my apartment in Williamsburg.
Really?
I've been there. I've done coke there, and I've been on a bad date there.
Oh my God!
So
you're. It's in like, the know of Huckleberry Bar.
The font is like, it looks like a... It's
like an old English, yeah, like, or something. It's like, it's like a post, it's like a Hallmark card font.
It is. It's like a papyrus card.
It's papyrus, but like a little more like ivy than that. It's like thinner and like a little...
Turn of the century.
Yeah.
You know, and
it's a top hat.
It's a top hat. It's a monocle bar.
Yeah.
And everyone, when you walk in there, you get a monocle. No, I'm just kidding. But you, it's like dimly lit. It's like pitch black in there. It's really weird.
It seems very dark.
There's like little candles at every... I went on a really weird date there once that like darked me out. But it's like a... Yeah, I guess it was probably bigger then but than it is now. But I screamed when they went there.
Yeah. I was wondering like
literally
that place was a place.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I went there a few times. It's right... where I used to live. It's crazy.
Incredible.
It's right next to this Chinese restaurant that I used to go to all the time.
Someone asked Chantal, how's work? And she goes, good, just a lot of work.
Yeah, so it's Chantal, Claudia, Angela, and Lara.
Lara.
Who's looking...
Who just says nothing again. Or she kind of does later, because some horrible douchebags come over to terrorize them.
They're just eating bar food, and mm-hmm. they have mac and cheese out, and this group of like goobers come over, and this one guy sticks his hand into the mac and cheese.
It's disgusting.
And they're all like, they all go, did you just do that? And it feels like this is a real moment. You can tell that they're really thrown off by it.
Yeah.
Like, these guys were probably drunk, and they were like, let's go fuck with these girls.
Yeah, like, that are filming a show. If it's in a dark bar, like, the camera crew has, like, lights that are shining on these girls. And these horrible-looking
guys,
bros come over and just, like, truly commit acts of terror.
They sit down next to Lara, and she's like, what did she say?
She was like... What did she say?
She's like, you're making me... He goes, scooch over.
And she was like, no.
No, you also just stuck your fingers in my friend's food. And then Chantal goes, the best line of all time. She goes, you have some mac and cheese in your bouffant.
Chantal is here to read you and destroy you.
And he looks embarrassed. Like,
did he check
he, like,
his hair?
He like checked his hair. And
oh my
was
God.
Like, oh.
Chantal, you don't fuck with Chantal because she will humiliate you.
So he just like is gross. They're all like, please leave.
He makes like an Asian comment.
He goes,
trying to get with like Angela.
He goes, it's Asian month.
Oh yeah. And then
Angela was horrible.
Yeah. Angela turns to Lara, like excuses herself. She's like, I really have to go to the bathroom, and runs off. Angela like turns to someone and she goes, I feel like we're being raped right now.
I mean, it was insane.
It was spiritual rape.
So they're like, you have to leave. So they end up, they walk away. And right before the guy who stuck his, he takes a huge handful of mac and cheese and just shoves it in his face and walks off. And then Angela, the rage comes on, and she just takes more mac and cheese and just chucks it at him across the bar.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes.
Yeah, go Ang.
It was great.
Go off.
That was
a really weird scene.
But that, like, I mean, it was
but
real.
I was like, wow, that's like...
That happens.
Guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to stick my...
There's a certain caliber of man that's just like, how do they even go out in public?
I'm going to stick my, like, hands that I, like...
My dirty city hands that have touched, like, a subway and, like, doorknobs and bathrooms that 5 million people have touched into your mac and cheese.
And I probably, like, fart in my hands and smell it. Ugh. Like, that's him.
God, and dirty fingernails.
Oh, for sure.
We cut to Amy, who's pretty miffed that Carrie has this internship. Like, she can't figure out, like, why Carrie has this internship. Mm-hmm. Like, why Sharon even gave it to her.
Amy looks like Ramona.
Yeah, she is Ramona. She
should be on The Housewives.
Amy says she knows tons of stuff about art. And lists all the reasons, and then she goes, and I've read that she goes, and I've read countless textbooks.
Oh yeah. Textbooks up to here.
Up to here.
She is like,
she's a cartoon character.
She's not from the right generation.
No.
She's like, she should be like 20 years older than she is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just the way she like holds, like she
carries herself like a mom on the verge of a nervous breakdown.
Yeah. She's like, she talks like she's in like The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Yeah, she is in The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
I mean, like, see, that's Amy's really.
I know,
like,
a lot about art. I've read countless textbooks.
Stacks all the way up.
She's like, oh my God, you know him? I know him. I saw him at a comedy show.
I saw him there and saw him there.
She goes, everyone's going to the auction. Oh, yeah, she has like a monologue about the auction that, you know, the producers were like, okay, we need you to talk about this auction. But then she goes, It's an amazing auction. It's an auction. It's great. People go to see and be seen. There are cute boys there. And you just see what art is getting hot. Hot. It's an auction. And it's just like, what? This isn't My Fair Lady.
It's like also an auction at like 2 p.m.
It's an auction at like a shitty auction. The auction is letting these hoo-has in there to like film.
Yeah, they're at like, it's like daylight. All the girls gather. Amy's sitting with Carrie and Sharon in the back row. Sharon's on a flip phone, which I love.
That's a power move.
And then she goes, and then Maggie comes up with her guy friend, who's like an idiot.
Eric.
Who's cute, but like a total dope.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point,
like,
the guy,
why are all these people at the auction?
I think it's for the show.
It's for the show. Like, there's no reason to go to this auction.
Also, the art is like,
the art's random.
Question mark. And when the guy, at one point, when the auctioneer bangs his mallet, the guy goes, why does he do that?
Eric did?
Yeah.
I love that.
And then the Brooklyn,
I love an auction.
They're
I
fun.
Would have gone to the auction if I, like, I love watching people spend insane amounts of money.
Yeah.
It's my favorite thing.
It's really fun.
It's really, really fun.
And then the Brooklyn girls sit in the front row in front of Maggie and Eric.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, this was
amazing, but also tells you how tenuous Claudia's grasp on her own mental health is during this period of her life.
Well, first of all, Claudia has a haircut.
Claudia's hair is just...
Oh, no, that's Chantel. Claudia... But she gets a tap on her shoulder from Eric, mm-hmm. and during the auction goes, hey, I think your shirt's on backwards. And Maggie just goes... And then Claudia like whispers to Chantel, like...
She goes, is it on backwards? It's totally possible that it is. Like, I love that you're... Like, you're so spun out that you could have put a shirt on backwards and, like, walked around with it like that. Like, at no point in my life have I been like, it's totally possible that I could have put these overalls on upside down or something. Like,
yeah,
just,
it seemed like
crazy.
A complicated outfit to begin with. So the fact that she got
it
wrong.
Look backwards, it looked chic. I'm like, what? And then Chantel just goes, it's not. And then she goes, that guy like told me that it is. She goes, do you care? Which I was like, ice queen.
I kind of like that.
I love it. Do you care?
She was like, why do you fucking care?
Yeah, she's over it. Like, yeah. Chantel cannot be bothered with like, is my shirt on backwards? Like, I kind of feel that because I'm like, if your shirt's on backwards, like, don't involve me. Like, just go fix it.
Yeah.
Or you figure it out. Like, I don't ask me to tell you things that you should already know.
Yeah, it's some ways like Claudia is teaching Chantel to grow up, I feel like, in some ways. But then Chantel
is
teaching Claudia to grow up, like, emotionally.
Chantel has street smarts.
She does.
Claudia... has her parents lending her $15,000
Claudia
to start
a
store.
Has a shared account with her parents.
Yeah, Claudia is just like trying to make things happen in this world.
But I thought that was kind of like a moment of true zen with Chantel. Like, do you care?
Yeah.
Like, this fucking...
Zen, but also like bitchiness.
Oh, total
Eric
cool.
is also a troll.
Oh, he was mean. That was just mean.
Sharon's client buys a Damien Hirst painting for $16,000. That was cool.
I love her on the phone going, you made a good choice. I'll see you next week. Like, it was very like Lisa Love in The Hill. I feel like she's going to be like a Lisa Love.
Yeah. She goes, this will add a lot.
This will add a lot.
Like, I guess to the existing collection.
Yeah.
Cool.
I loved her outfit.
Sharon is always killing it.
Puffy sleeves.
With those green earrings.
Ugh.
Chantel recognizes Sharon. Do they meet?
Well, first, Carrie's like, wow, that was really cool that you did that on the phone with your client. She's like, oh, she's like flattering Sharon. And mm-hmm. Sharon's like, well, I've had a lot of experience. I worked in an auction. And then they're like having a moment. And then
they're bonding.
Amy's like on the side, like, what is she seeing her?
Amy's like, I just don't get it.
I don't get it. What does she see?
I'm just like, I don't understand.
Amy's totally confused.
Clueless.
Amy...
she hasn't a clue.
No, I think Amy thinks that she's...
Amy thinks that she's, like, really on the right track to something. Mm-hmm.
I think Amy only thinks there's, like, 4,000 people in the world. Like, I think she has, like, population blindness. Or, like, vast, like, scale. Like, her sense of scale is very skewed.
Yeah.
And she only thinks there's, like, maybe 2,000 people in the world.
Yeah.
Because I don't think she leaves Midtown.
She doesn't leave the Upper East Side.
The Upper East Side. Like, she doesn't leave Uptown. And no. I think she's...
She doesn't understand, like, the basic facts of life.
Yeah, I think she's like, how would this competent, attractive woman...
Who has a job.
Is driven and pays for her own...
Is totally financially solvent. How could she, of all people... get this internship.
How could someone see something in her?
Yeah.
How could a woman like Sharon, who probably is also a self-made driven woman,
who's fabulous,
recognize game, you know?
Yeah. Like, also, it's like, Amy, this is an internship.
I know.
AKA free work. No one gets paid. It's easy. Like, what? She's like, how could Sharon want her? It's like, yeah, I'm sure Sharon would take a ton of girls like Carrie who would work for her for free.
And do a better job than you would.
Yeah.
So they all the girls gather at the end, and the Brooklyn girls, as they call them, the EOC girls come over, and Chantel is like, immediately I recognize Sharon without even having her to introduce herself.
Yeah.
She's very, very well regarded.
And then Chantel's like, I want to be her.
I want to be her. And then Sharon like is like, see you later. I'm going to go make money.
Like, I'm out. I got to go.
So the girls are all sitting there. Oh, and we missed a truly glorious moment, though.
What?
Before they go over there.
Oh, well, Amy meets the EOC girls.
Well, no. First, Maggie says, Maggie is sitting behind Angela, Chantel, and Claudia, and she says, I love your haircut.
Oh, yeah.
Because Chantel has a truly...
Chantel's like a little page boy cut. Mm-hmm.
She looks
something.
Like the sister in Fleabag.
Yeah.
When she gets her haircut.
She does have like the sister in Fleabag.
And then Claudia goes, she looks like a French boy, which I thought was great.
Yeah.
And Maggie goes, like, Maggie's just like,
Maggie's straight trolling. Up trolling. She came to the auction to troll.
I love your haircut. Chantel doesn't even register it, though.
No. It's like white noise. It's just like silent.
She heard, like, womp, 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 womp.
Yeah, or she just heard like the sound of like crickets from like a sound machine or something.
She heard like the sound of a humidifier.
She doesn't believe that Maggie is like a sentient being that can speak and do like anything at all.
If you're not in Chantel's orbit, or if you're not doing something that benefits her, when you open your mouth, you hear this. Guess what she hears anytime someone that doesn't serve a purpose for her speaks. Yeah. That's what she hears.
Chantel's like deep in thought during most of her conversations that are one-sided, where people talk at her and then someone else that she's with like speaks up, but she never engages in like the conversation.
I love your haircut. So they all gather. Amy talks to the Brooklyn girls. They're like, we own a shop in the Lower East Side. And she's like, oh my God.
Oh my God. She goes, Can I come by?
And they're like,
Amy is approaching everyone from a place of nunca. Like, Amy is a continual place of nunca in all her approaches with everyone. It's like coming on way too strong.
And they're immediately like,
they're taken aback. But Claudia's like, sure, come by. Like, Claudia's like, we might sell one thing. So sure, come by.
Please spend money.
Chantal's like, I'm not comfortable with overly friendly people. Then she goes, I don't know if she's being genuine or if she takes too many antidepressants.
That's how she sounds.
Yeah. I love that read.
Being genuine or she's taking too many antidepressants.
Chantel will shit on anyone for anything.
Yeah. But I love that.
God love her.
Can I come?
Oh my God.
Oh.
Oh my God. Like, it's like not that shocking.
Yeah. They're like, Angela is like mute in this.
Does Angela like physically react to things that Amy does? Like, I feel like she kind of gets like, whoa, like it kind of like throws her.
No, back. I think Angela like jerked her head back.
Yeah,
she was like,
she can't.
Can I come?
Can I come back?
Can I come? I'll come by. Like, I'll come down and then you'll let me in. And
I feel like I've been Amy in certain social situations.
Me too.
And I hate that about myself.
I know. I have too.
Amy then throws on a poncho that truly is wild to me.
Well, first,
she throws on like a cashmere poncho with a fur as the ladies like take to the sidewalk to decide like where they're going to go next.
Well, first, Amy discloses that she goes, she sees Maggie and she goes, God, so Maggie, that guy, Eric, that you were with, she's like, I recognize him from last night, actually, at the comedy club, which I was like, Maisel. Fucking...
Amy
Mitch.
Is literally an Amy Sherman Palladino creation.
Well, she's
at the comedy club.
At the comedy club.
The comedy club? Like, comedy club are you going to, Amy?
I know. Like, I can only guess. But she...
Amy, oh.
But she tells Maggie that she met the guy that Maggie brought, who's her boyfriend's friend.
Yeah.
Which I was like, why? That's weird that he can. Anyway.
Yeah.
She met him the night before and she's like, we hit it off. We talked for a while. I think he's really cute. I think he's really cute. And Maggie was like, yeah, he's cute. And then she goes, and yeah, he actually texted me that I was sitting behind him. Or I actually texted him just now that I was sitting behind him. And then Maggie's like, wow. And then Maggie cuts to Maggie and she's like, yeah, I know the real story. Apparently Amy was shit-faced last night and like tried incessantly to hook up with my friend.
Yeah, and she doesn't know that I know that. Dark.
It made me kind of feel bad for Amy.
I feel always so bad for Amy, but she just like brazenly walks into
fire.
It's like part of becoming mature is knowing when you should keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of power in not saying certain things. And that's something that I've even learned like recently.
Oh, for sure. Me too. I'm learning that every day.
Yeah. And like Amy just doesn't know that.
She doesn't have a natural filter. I really believe she only thinks there's like a couple thousand people in the world.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It, yeah,
like she's probably been everywhere in the world, but
she's like, oh, 10 people live in Norway.
Yeah,
like 25 people live in Germany.
She's like weirdly provincial for someone of her, like she obviously comes from a ton of money.
Yeah, but I think it's just like you grow up with a certain level of privilege that you just truly cannot fathom how the world works.
You also cannot fathom that people don't think you're fabulous and want to just talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think she just thinks everyone's like, thinks she's, which is like, I mean, I'm sure she's a lovely person, but like, I think part of maturity too is knowing that like, not everyone's going to get you.
Yeah. Not trying to forge such an intense connection with people upon like first meeting them. Like, it's okay to just be chill and be like, hey, and like, see if you like someone before you really put yourself out there to them. Like,
yeah, but also just like, I mean, I've had to learn, like, if I like knew someone like over a period of time and for whatever reason they just didn't like me, or like, mm-hmm, they just didn't vibe with me, and I would take it really personal.
Yeah,
and like that's when you learn, you're like, all right, like whatever, they don't like me for who I am, like I don't have time for them either.
Amy reminds me a lot of Tony, my dog.
Oh.
Because it's like sometimes he comes on really strong with other dogs. Some dogs don't like that.
No.
And they snap at him and then he's like a little like
miffed.
And then we walk away and I say, you know what, Tone? Not all dogs are going to like you. Not everyone you meet is going to like you.
It's like, you know,
that's good to know.
It is. You know, when you're a little kid and your mom's like, you're perfect.
Yeah.
Like, you're better than everyone kind of thing.
Mm-mm. Not my bag. I'd just be like, yeah, some people aren't going to like you.
I know. I wish I'd been told
that.
You're
not for everyone, but you're for me.
Every lid has its pot. You might not be that lid.
Yeah.
But anyway, so they decide, Amy's like, let's go get drunk.
Yeah. She's like, let's get fucking trashed.
So they go, Maggie leaves.
She throws on her poncho, which like, I'm going to need you to go back and look at, because I truly squealed when I saw it, because it was very, like, I feel like Kim Cattrall wore that as Samantha Jones in an episode of Sex and the City. Like,
she probably got it for that reason.
Yeah, like I've seen this poncho before and it was in an episode of Sex and the City.
Aww.
And so Amy's wearing, she dresses like 45 years old.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
And I just don't get it.
She's wearing like a,
she's like an Upper East Side
mom
wife.
Yeah.
But she's not none of those things and just living in daddy's apartment.
Daddy.
It's so weird.
She's like, maybe like if I dress like this long enough, I'll just wake up one morning and I'll have a husband.
Yeah, I think she thinks that. She believes
kids.
In magic.
She believes
pure in magic.
The year
totally.
Of magical thinking.
Yeah.
She's a magical thinker.
She also orders a lychee martini, which I'm like, there's something wrong with you.
What is lychee martini? Oh, like milk.
Like a lychee.
Oh, like a pastry.
No, lychee is like
lich.
It's like a kind of fruit, I think, like a Japanese fruit. But
Angela was horrified.
Angela was taken aback. Everyone was like laughing. Amy has no chill, not a single ounce of chill in her entire body. And she like grabs the waitress and she's like, ah, sorry, gotta just get in here. Can I get a drink? And the waitress is like,
she goes, I need a drink.
I need a drink. And then fucking Maisel. And the waitress is like, okay, yeah. And she goes, actually, do you have a cocktail menu? And then she's like, it's right there. And then Chantal laughs, like openly is like mocking Amy, who can't take it, then orders a lychee martini, and everyone's like, what?
Angela says, weren't like sweet drinks out like 5 years ago?
Yeah, which I thought what was is your damage?
Such a troll. Yeah, she goes, I need a drink.
I need a drink. I really need a drink. She's like an Amy Sedaris character.
And then Chantal
goes full Chantal wild.
I'm going to have a Pinot Noir.
She Chantal's out.
And she goes, can you make sure it's from France?
I don't like wines from Oregon. All right.
And then the woman comes back and she goes, Pinot Noir is from France.
Yeah, it's from
France. And she goes, and then she walks away and Chantal goes, I mean, I could have told you that, but thanks.
Also, like, if the name of the Pinot Noir, oh wait, maybe it wasn't. Maybe it's just like a Pinot.
It was some kind of Pinot, but like, and she was clearly like embarrassed because the waitress like was like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Like,
that was a real,
yeah,
a fully wild Chantal moment.
So then, it's a dinner where a bunch of people who don't like each other.
Or like a bunch of people who like each other are with a bunch of people who don't know each other.
Yeah. It's like different.
It's a bad mashup.
It's a really weird mashup. Carrie is like, they get food and then
Chantal reveals that she wore heels every day in high school.
Yeah.
And refused to participate in gym class. She's pretty like Chantal is not, she presents as like this mysterious Olsen twin type of vibe.
Well, that's what Carrie says.
Really not that hard to figure out.
No, Carrie's like, she's like a goth Olsen twin. And I was like, okay, the Olsen twins are goth, first of all.
Yeah.
So just say she's an Olsen twin.
Yeah.
Second of all, she's not an Olsen twin because they're actually mysterious.
They are truly the world's greatest mystery. Along with Atlantis, the Olsen twins are right up there.
They're some of my favorite celebrities.
Yeah,
because they're
the top of the food chain.
Because they're like, there is a line between us and them, and they keep it.
Yeah.
They're kind of amazing.
They're amazing, and also it's like, they're the kind of people that, there's a huge chance that you'll never ever even get within their realm enough to even place of Nunca approach them. Like, they're, like, you won't even.
I don't even know what they sound like anymore.
Me neither.
I feel like they're like, they, the Olsen twins are like the witches in Dune that speak through their minds. The Bene Gesserit, that's what they are.
They are witches.
Yeah.
What alchemy.
So Carrie, Amy.
She still can't figure Carrie's internship out.
I know.
She's like staring at her across the table, like trying to like figure it out.
Amy,
I feel like Amy thinks that if she gets Carrie like shit faced enough, like somehow she'll learn all the secrets.
Carrie's like not having Amy. She's not having this night. She has her boyfriend come get her because they're going to a concert. But then Amy desperately, she goes, come with me tomorrow. My friend owns a bar. It's really, oh, it was, okay, this actually.
Dorian's my favorite bar. Which made you know sad. What Dorian's is?
No.
Oh, I thought.
I think it's an Upper East Side bar.
Yeah.
But it made me sad because she was like, we'll get drunk. It's like, she's one of those people that's like,
she just wants to get drunk with you.
She's like a kid.
And that kind of works when you're like 20 years old.
But Carrie's like, which I thought was a little mean. Carrie's like, and I was kind of like, okay, Carrie. She was like, I don't go uptown. She's like, you're an Upper East Side girl. She's like, that's not me.
Yeah. So she shaves.
And Amy was like, what do you mean?
Amy's furious. Upper East Side activist. Justice for the Upper East Side.
Sorry, I look good and I wear nice clothes.
Carrie had the audacity to make an ignorant assumption about the Upper East Side. Sorry, I dress well. It's like, what are you talking about? Those two things have nothing to do with the other.
So then Carrie and her boyfriend, who's like kind of cute, but like really nerdy, named Hernando, who's wearing a leather jacket, sweeps her away, and then the bill comes and they're like, did Carrie leave without paying? Which I thought was...
That's weird, but then I thought, you know what probably happened? Is Carrie probably thought Bravo was picking up the tab. And that's why she just left. Because she doesn't strike me as the kind of person like that would just ghost. Yeah. And it seems like shocking, makes you think like, whoa, what's wrong with this girl? And the first few times I watched it, but then I was like, okay, clearly Bravo is like, you all need to show up to the auction and then we'll like film you going out afterwards. And so I would just assume that if I'm going to go have a drink somewhere, Bravo would pay for it.
Or maybe they told her they're going to pay for it and then they didn't.
Yeah.
To like create.
I think that that was a good, genuine mistake.
Yeah.
Carrie truther.
Carrie truther.
Carrie drink truther.
So then the next day, Carrie has to run Bagel. Carrie's boring.
She's really boring. It sucks. But back to Teterboro we go.
Carrie goes to Teterboro like Dale.
Yeah.
To go deliver bagels to a rich...
A private jet.
And then Sharon's like...
Pick up an art piece. It's just like, what? Who cares?
She also goes to Long Island, which...
I actually liked
that. I did too.
Because her family gives her a lot of texture. Because the dynamic between them all is really interesting. Because Carrie is like the only one that's like ventured out and is like really making...
They stare at her like she's the sun.
Yeah. Like it's... She's doing something very different with her life than what her family has chosen to do. Thus, it's like... It makes her interesting.
And her sister is gorgeous.
Yeah.
And she's clearly like lives in Long Island, but she's like so supportive of her. Like it's like a really nice family. And the dad's like, hey.
Hey, how's my girl doing?
What's my girl doing? You're going to come live with me soon? He's dating again. Her parents are divorced. I think she's closer with her dad than her mom, it seems like.
Yeah.
And then... She goes out to like a sports bar in Long Island.
I was like, honestly, this is my dad.
Yeah.
Where I sit at a sports bar with him while he watches a college football game or some sort of sports. And then I just like sit there and have some wine.
Yeah. It's kind of, I mean, she's a dad. She's definitely
a daddy's girl.
Yeah. But he's basically like, I'm really proud of you. Like, you know, just keep working hard and all this stuff. And he's like, and if you run out of money, you can come live with me. And she's like, honestly, that's my biggest nightmare.
She'd rather kill myself.
They're also in Rockville Center, which is where my grandfather is from.
Oh, I love that.
So, just a fun fact.
Shout out.
Shout out.
Eli sends Maggie to Brooklyn.
Oh, my God.
To which she goes, I hope I don't die when she gets out there.
It's just like this really weird tracking shot of her, like, clip-clopping through William. She's also on Bedford Avenue, which is like,
yeah, it's like not nice, but it also is like a ghost town compared to like what it is now.
Oh yeah,
I remember being like going to those stops up the subway and just being like, I hope I don't die.
Yeah, I mean,
I get it.
No, yeah, I mean, it was like
also just like, God, we're all so stupid.
She's just like wearing little booties and like she
steps on some glass.
She's just muttering to herself, and someone like whistles at her.
Oh, yeah. She gets catcalled.
She gets the wolf whistle.
Then someone gives her, like, whatever package Eli wants her to get. And she goes, thank you.
She has a weird way of talking.
She talks thank weird. You. And then she's wearing these really weird sunglasses that are, like, big and square, yet wrap around, like, part of her skull.
Yeah.
The whole aesthetic is bizarre. And then she calls her boyfriend and leaves, like, a rambling voicemail complaining about the... Eli sending her on this like horrible thing to Brooklyn. And I'm like, this is so awkward because I'm sure your boyfriend knows that you used to fuck this guy.
I know.
Like he knows the whole story, but then you keep telling him
about
the toxic relationship that you continue to engage in with this person because you think that they have power over you when really they kind of don't.
Yeah. And also I love that she took the subway to Brooklyn and then took a car back.
Fair. It was too much.
She was like, I'm going to, because she has a trust fund. She's like, probably never goes on the subway.
Yeah.
She hates Brooklyn. She makes it very clear several times that she
hates it. She thinks it smells weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she was like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to take the subway.
Yeah.
And then.
She's going to be gritty.
She's going to be gritty, just like the subway itself.
Yeah. That she saw too many people on the subway and decided safer to just car back.
Recently, Jenna Dewan,
mm-hmm.
Tatum Channing. Tatum
Danny Duan.
Channing Tatum's ex-wife.
Yeah.
She posted a photo with her new boyfriend, and she tweeted, it was, she posted on Instagram, she was like, just took the subway. It was a headline that said, Jenna Dewan and boyfriend take subway for the first time. And then a quote, I had a great time. This person's literally never, she's been famous for so long that she's never taken the subway.
I had a great time.
I had a great time.
That's great.
Yeah, good for her.
Claudia attempts to sell some art to like a bunch of French people. That's like, are those just like your parents' friends that are in town?
It was. It was a friend of her family's, I think, that brought a bunch of rich
Frenchies
who were drunk,
fucking shit faced.
They come over and she's describing the art to them, and she's like,
she originally painted all of this on bed sheets.
Yeah,
it's just like, a lot of like. I was listening to her and I was like, is she making this up as she goes along, or
I'm like, cool story, but also maybe not the thing to lead with if you're trying to like sell art to people of a certain age.
Yeah,
like, know your audience.
Also French people.
Also, I'm like, why are you not making like 10 appointments a day to show people this art? Why is it just like one person's gonna come in at 4 to look at it? Like, you're not gonna sell shit doing that. You're selling art that's like $6,400.
Yeah, it's like $7,500.
None of your friends are gonna be able to afford that. So you better have your parents' friends be coming in shifts. Like, you need a tour bus just shipping people and like constantly telling them about
it. I don't
think
they thought about this. I think they thought people would just come and be like, oh, we're in the recession, I have $6,200
to spend in your like random who of a store.
one of the French people is like, oh, I love this hat, and it's like the ugliest hat I've ever seen.
They love
a
lot of ugly things.
It's like a spider. It looks like a tripod for like like a camera that just like reverse and put on the head. Mm-hmm. Or like an umbrella without the, I think it's literally an umbrella without the fabric.
Yeah.
And she puts it on her head. It looks like Delia Dietz from Beetlejuice.
It's a full Delia Dietz look. And then a ring that's also hideous.
Oh, the worst ring of all time.
And she's like, I love this. And they're just like looking around, but then buy nothing.
The ugliest shit I have ever seen.
Yeah.
Not ever seen, but it is one of the most, like, that hat and that ring together, I was like, I can't think of something more horrid.
I wrote in my notes, I said, OMG, it must be so hard to sell shit in a store. That's my big realization of the day.
And there we go. That's the podcast.
It must be. But it's true.
It looks unbelievably difficult to sell
it. It's really hard to sell things in a store.
And then they,
think of all the stores you've gone in and have not bought anything. It's really hard to sell them. I worked in a store for a brief amount of time in college.
I worked at Cold Stone.
Yeah, but it's hard to sell. That Cold Stone's a pretty easy place to sell things.
No,
stores are hard.
It's fucking
retail.
It's hell.
An unforgiving world.
I can't imagine.
But that being said, like, I would love a store. I would love a no stakes store where I would just not have to worry about.
If you were like had enough money,
where it's just like fine.
Yeah,
which is like, I'd love to like marry like a super wealthy person. And then just be able to, like, have a store.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Not a restaurant, because there's, like, food shit.
Not a restaurant, but maybe eventually, like, or maybe, like, have a store plus, like, a cafe.
Yeah.
Like, I think that could be my little mashup.
They should have done that.
Yeah.
Just have some.
You get some real, I could be really good salads, sandwiches.
They should have a salad bar underneath one of the paintings.
Yeah. With the sneeze guard. All you can eat and do run specials. They got to get more foot traffic in there somehow.
They have a hot lamp.
Like four people a day come in that store.
Well, they sit down together and they like go through the data from like the first month or so of the store. And first of all, Claudia's mom emails. Claudia's mom, you can tell the parents are like,
they're
every
over
day,
it.
They're like, how's it going?
They're
going
to get a divorce because of this. Like, they are literally like,
they're on the verge of.
Her parents fight every day about.
It's the only thing they fight about / talk about.
Yeah.
They
like,
call her.
Suddenly their marriage has just become like, why did you let us give Claudia this fucking loan?
They like call her every day at like 5 a.m. and they're like, today's a new day.
Are you up? Are you excited?
You gonna sell things today?
Good job, honey.
Yay.
You can do it.
Text me when you get there.
We believe in you.
I'll call you when you get there.
FaceTime.
FaceTime. FaceTime me when you're at the store and I know you're there behind the desk. Be there by 6 a.m. Or guess what? I'm calling the police.
I'm suing you.
I'm suing you. My lawyers, I have a lawyer on hand ready.
Ready to serve.
Ready to serve papers if you're not there by 6:01 a.m.
If you're 1 minute late.
If you are 1 minute late, 6:02, I'm giving you one extra minute from the hour.
If you are
That's
an
a
iota
long minute.
Over that.
6:02, you're done. Papers served, waiting for you at end of century. The end of the line for you.
Yeah. It'll be the end of your century.
It'll be the end of your century.
Certainly is the end of me and your father's marriage. Claudia's destroyed her entire family with this store.
End of century has torn Claudia's family apart. And her ancestor and her descendants.
Yeah. And her descendants. And then she's shifted her karma forever from this.
Inherited trauma forever.
Yeah. Her kids are going to have to work through the trauma she's created.
From end of century.
Yeah. Generations of trauma from opening this store and the loan.
So they sit down. Chantal, Lara, and Claudia all sit down. And Claudia discloses that they've only made
$2,500 this month. They also get a bill and they're like, oh my God, we gotta open the bill. Ooh. And then they open the bill. It's for like $83, which is like a pretty decent bill to get.
I know.
Like, that's like a bill that it's a chill bill.
But they don't have money.
I know, but like.
They have to make what, like $7,000 a month?
Claudia like taps on her because she's like. And she's like, we have to make $7,400 a month to like sustain.
She.
They have to sell.
Claudia. A giant calculator that's like from FAO Schwartz. It's like
the huge buttons. It's a really like one of the calculators that just does basic like addition, subtraction, multiplication, division, like nothing more.
She types with a pen, click, 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 doing for like 5 minutes, and then they look down and it says
trying to calculate anything is Claudia. Just like
it just says, and then she pushes the calculator over to them and turns it upside down and it just says boobless.
This is how much we have to sell a month. Chantal's like, Claudia's going mad.
Claudia's like all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy.
Claudia's fully like, there's this Elizabeth Moss movie where she like descends into madness. Have you seen that?
Queen of the Earth?
Yeah, Queen of the Earth.
I haven't seen it, but I know about
She's
it.
She's fully, that is Claudia in End of Century trying to just deal with like calculations. Chantal's response to, like, the girls are so cunty to her. They just go, well.
We've sold a lot.
We've sold also $2,500. Those sweaters are probably like $250. They've sold like maybe five things.
Yeah, so.
In
Chantal,
the course of a month.
Chantal also has slicked back hair.
Which you have gone full vampire. If you go in the direction of a slicked back hair, that tells me.
Vampirism.
That you're in charge.
Chantal definitely took her cue. I think she pretended she didn't hear Maggie's comment, but. She took it to heart. We just heard a scream outside.
I thought it was like Tony.
I know.
But it wasn't. And then Chantal goes, well, maybe, hopefully you'll sell a painting. Hopefully.
Yeah, so Chantal's
like. So now it's like all on Claudia to like make the store happen.
We've done everything we can. So it's really up to Claudia to sell some of her share of the paintings. And then Chantal goes to Claudia. She goes, tomorrow I'll work late.
Also, I believe that like most of the clothes that they've sold, Chantal's probably bought.
Yeah, or she's like, I'm gonna take this with me.
Yeah,
I'm gonna like I actually want this back.
I'm really curious as to like what brands were sold in this store, because like I wonder what the price point of the clothing was.
It's probably like Rag and Bone.
Yeah. It had to be at least like in the $200 to $500 range, like per item, to like compete, because you can't have like $80 to $200 clothes with like $7,000 painting.
It's insane.
It's insane.
But Claudia,
no one thought this through.
But there, I love that that's her response. I'm going to work late tomorrow.
I'll work late tomorrow, and maybe you should think about selling a painting.
And Claudia's like, okay.
Claudia's like,
no. Claudia went home that night and threw a bunch of Adderall into a blender, poured some sugar into the blender, like just clumps of like from the sugar jar, and then orange juice, and blended it
and
all up.
And a raw egg.
And a raw egg. And cookie dough.
Yeah, and blended it all up and sipped it through a straw and just like sat up, like just sat awake.
Claudia has not slept in like
40, like she stays up regularly for like 77 hours at a time.
Yeah. And Chantel knows it and she loves it.
She loves
She's
it.
She's banking on Claudia weakening. Chantel's goal is for end of century to fail.
Yeah, she got involved with it so that it could fail.
She wants it to fail so badly. Because that's how she thrives.
Yeah. She's like,
I thrive in failure.
I love seeing, like, putting everything that I can put into this thing.
And seeing everything someone has.
Yeah.
Into something.
Go up in flames.
And then
and
I just.
And knowing that I'll just.
I'll be fine.
I'll be fine.
I'll always come out on top.
Mm-hmm.
She loves it.
It's like a step. It's like a step up in the ladder. Like, yeah. For her.
Uh-huh.
Claudia's like. Eventual mental breakdown.
Demise.
And demise. And the demise of her family and the generational trauma the loan caused means that Chantal gets like a leg up in this world.
Chantal's foresight is great. Like Chantal's thinking of like three generations down.
Yeah.
In Claudia's line. And then knowing that this moment will affect them.
Like they did blow together one night and were like, Claudia's like, would you like... We should, like, open a store.
We should open a store. I think we should open a store. Don't you think it would be a really good idea if we just opened a store? And then I think we should get a cab
Chantal
right now.
Chantal had a vision of, like, Claudia's ancestors struggling because of the store.
Her descendants.
Or her descendants.
Yeah. Yes.
And also her ancestors.
And then Claudia was like, let's take a cab right now to the Brooklyn Bridge.
Yeah. Let's just go.
Let's just go. And then we'll just like walk around Lower East Side in Chinatown.
And we'll find our store.
We'll find our store and like wherever we choose, we just choose it.
Yeah.
Okay. And Claudia and Chantal's like,
sure, Claude.
Yeah. When Chantal's on coke, she doesn't change.
No. Sure, Claude.
Sure, Claude.
Let's do it.
You okay, Claude?
You okay, Claude?
On the way there, the wind, Claudia's like,
she's
really
sweating.
Hot.
Claudia like OD'd that night. You okay, Claude?
You okay,
Claude? Claudia woke up in a gutter, missing like her purse, one shoe, and a sock.
And then Chantal got
and like
home
a lock
morning.
Of her hair was gone.
It was all Chantal.
It was all Chantal.
She put it all into like a barrel.
Mm-hmm.
And then lit it on fire.
Yeah, poured a little gasoline in there and threw a match. And watched it burn.
In like an alleyway.
And her spell was complete. Chantal's doing like hereditary type of
Suspiria
shit.
Suspiria shit.
Yeah, to Claudia.
She is like Madame Blanc and mm-hmm. Claudia's Olga.
Mm-hmm.
Olga.
End of century is very Clemson. Suspiria.
It is.
Angela's so Suspiria.
She is. Well, we see Angela next. She's with her gaze. She's a true ally.
Yeah.
Angela's wearing actually an amazing outfit.
Angela's wearing... something that at the time this aired, I was like, I fucking hate this idiot and her stupid outfit. And now I'm like, I love
genius.
Angela and she's an
gorgeous.
Artist. Yeah.
They're at some gay bar.
She goes, is this outfit going to get me laid? And her gay goes, no.
So her friend Alex.
Her friend Alex, who
this
like,
guy, Jeff, he was like my friend in New York for a few years.
Okay. So also, side note. I had a friend who texted me that he too knows Alex, but doesn't know how.
I think he's like...
he's around.
Yeah, I think he's
We've
like
We've all met him.
I think he's like a...
he's a familiar.
Yeah.
He's like the cat.
He's nice.
Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Jeff is a sweetie.
Yeah.
And so when he was on screen, I screamed.
Her gays seem great.
They're really nice. They're all nice boys.
They're all nice boys.
And she's just like sitting like flanks. She loves it. She's sitting, there's like mirrors everywhere. She's mm-hmm. like, we're having pre-drinks tonight before we go out to the gay bars. She's having a gay night.
Yeah.
But she wants to fuck. Which
I'm
is...
like, honey, been there. And guess what? You ain't gonna fuck.
So she's like just flanked by her gays.
I love the thought. I used to really think like, I'm going out tonight, like maybe I'll meet a man. And it's like, no, bitch. Like, do you think you're going to meet someone that wants to fuck you when you're out with literally only gay men? In what world?
She knows.
In what universe?
She's like, Angela's weirdly innocent.
Angela's very innocent, but she's also reveals that she's never had an orgasm.
I know. There's something, not innocent, but there's something like...
naive.
Yeah, she's like very, you can tell she's like, yeah, there was like a sweet quality to her. Like she's
just an Orange County girl in a New York world.
She's trying everything.
Yeah.
She's like really open-minded.
She's putting herself out there. I like that she's listing the things that she wants in a guy. I think that's mm-hmm. really good to do.
Alex drags her. He's like, you want a guy, like he basically just reads her and
he's like, that doesn't exist.
And she and she says, Alex has known me, he knows me really well. And she's like, and he tore me to shreds.
He reads her.
Yeah. And she's like, I deserved it. Like, yeah. And she's like, she says something like, gay men are essential or a big part of a woman's self-esteem, but never doubt like the wrath of a gay man or something.
Yeah. She it was like, a really like wise yeah. statement.
You can tell she doesn't treat them like pets.
No, they're all friends.
Yeah, she
seems
treats
like
them
they're genuinely friends and get a real kick out of each other.
Yeah,
and but like they're having fun filming this scene.
But you know, in like real, like especially in like the Housewives, like they treat their gay
oh, yeah.
friends like
it's like my gays.
Angela seems to have like she's like yeah, it was my turn to be red. You know,
yeah.
like she's it was fun. So they just have like a fun night. Angela's like. Takes a shot. Someone pays for them to have shots.
Yeah.
From across the bar.
And they're just like living, laughing, loving.
She talks about getting pounded, I think, at one point.
She wants her... She's like, your pussy must be depressed.
She's like, I need like, to get yeah, my pussy rejuvenated.
Yeah, she needs an orgasm.
She does.
That's like the second Bravo celebrity that has revealed...
Who's the first?
Sheena. Sheena revealed on her podcast that she's never had an orgasm.
Sheena has a podcast?
Yeah.
What?
Oh my God. Yeah. Sheena has a podcast called Shenanigans. Wait. How did you not know
this?
I love that you've lived in a world. I've lived in a world where I've come to, like, Sheena's had a podcast and I've known that. And it's, like, affected my life in a variety of ways.
We live in two
but
parallel
worlds. We live in, like, completely different worlds.
We've been in, like, sliding doors.
Yeah. Like, you didn't even know until now that Sheena had a podcast. I'm obsessed with that. You're like Karl Lagerfeld not knowing about 9/11 is the level of, like...
What?
Oh, yeah. This is a story I've told so many times on the pod and will continue to tell because I'm fascinated by it. Apparently, I heard through like a friend of a friend that one of my friends had a meeting set up with like Karl Lagerfeld, and they went in to have this meeting, and Karl's team comes out and they're like, okay, just like a few things to like brief you on before you go in there and meet with Karl, like if you could just please not like bring up 9/11, like just please don't talk about it, like because he just like doesn't know that it happened and like he doesn't like want to be aware of this kind of stuff ever, so like please just don't talk about it, essentially. Isn't that amazing?
He has that much power that he can,
he just is like his
he lived,
even if it's not true. I like the myth. I don't know if it's true or not.
But the idea that we as children grew up traumatized from this event, like the entire country and world were fucking traumatized by this event. And he's probably one of the only people that like lived in a world where 9/11 never happened.
Well, he has a lot of like shit to design. He has a heavy workload.
That's like true power.
Yeah. I mean, it's really hard to think of like amazing dresses if you're worried about people jumping out of a building that planes crashed into and like terrorist attacks. It's going to really suck the creativity right out of your soul.
I wonder if you knew about like any terrorist attacks.
I'm sure he...
I love that that's like first things first.
First things first. Off the bat,
Because this apparently is something that a lot of people talk about when they are in designing meetings.
Yeah, I would like, what in what world does like 9/11 just like come up in conversation? But I guess like randomly...
I talk about 9/11 once a week.
Yeah, like I... Yeah. Pretty often. So I think it's actually good looking out to just be like...
I don't know about once a week. No, I'm just kidding. But I think 9/11 is like something that gets brought up a lot.
I think maybe someone could have told him like 10 years later, be like, oh, it's his anniversary of this thing that happened.
I don't want to hear about it.
I don't know. Okay, fine. Your choice, Carl. It's up.
Somebody needs to make a movie about that.
Up to you.
Someone tried to play about the assistance that... Every day. It's like 50 first dates.
Yeah. Every day you have to make sure that your boss doesn't find out that 9/11 happened.
Write it.
What if he... I hope he lived the... I hope this is... I hope A, this is true, and B, that he never knew about 9/11.
I don't think he did.
If you know Carl or people that know him and can like look in and fact check this, like please get in touch, sexyuniquepodcast@gmail.com, because I need to know more about the Carl Lagerfeld 9/11 myth. And I will continue to tell this story until someone corrects me.
Like me with Sheena? Are you shook?
I'm shook.
I didn't know.
Wait, Sheena has a podcast?
I've listened to Stassi like for hours.
Yeah. Sheena has a podcast. I will listen to it sometimes on bonus episodes and like live roast it, because it's true. It's like, and it's an insane podcast.
I have to listen to it.
Maybe that should be our bonus episode.
Maybe.
We'll see.
We'll see.
We'll think about it.
So we end with Liz.
Eli,
Maggie, and Liz are like closing up shop.
And he invites them to go out for drinks.
Across the street.
Across the street.
Liz is like, I gotta get my hair done.
I can't go.
And we cut to Liz at her house, and she's like, I didn't have to get my hair done. I don't want to be in the middle of that crazy sexual tension between Eli and Maggie.
And that's when you realize that like Liz is a real amazing one. Yeah. Like she knows her shit.
She goes home and like hugs her dog and like is just happy.
That's amazing. Like I didn't learn how to do what Liz did there. Like, I'm still learning how to do that.
Liz removes herself from a really toxic equation.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, I'm here to work. I'm not here to, like, go to drinks with these weird people.
Yeah.
She read the writing on the wall, and she got the fuck out of there.
Yeah, smart.
Flew back to Gramercy.
Amen.
And then I was officially on board with Liz.
Yeah, I'm on board.
So
I'm into Liz.
Maggie
Liz.
And Eli have a really...
They go on a fucking date.
She's... Tells him she has dinner with her boyfriend right after. And he's like, let's get you drunk.
So he's like trying to make Maggie like eat a pizza. Also, this is just sad because it's like she's shit kind of like making fun of her boyfriend to Eli.
Yeah.
And it's like.
It must suck for him.
Yeah, it sucks. He's like, let's get a pizza. You can take it. And she's like, I'm not hungry. He's like, well, you can take it home. You can give it to your boyfriend, Ryan. And she's like. Well, Ryan doesn't really have like a sophisticated palate. And then
she's
that
like,
becomes like
New
a
York.
Joke. Yeah. And it's just like.
They have like an inside joke together about.
Yeah. About like her boy. It's just
it's like such a betrayal. Ugh,
it's a real betrayal. It sucks.
And then he's like, let's get you drunk. And it's like so like Me Too.
Yeah.
It's like a real like.
But she's also like participating. It's just like a fucked.
But
like,
I mean, in a technical standpoint, it's your boss being like, let's get you drunk.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
It's your boss that you're some sort of sexual history has gone down between them. Also, she says that she was his personal assistant for like a day. She tells this to Liz and that she had to put his shoes and socks on his feet and pick up his underwear.
Yeah, it's like secretary.
It's just like something is amiss.
Liz is like they're in love with each other.
Yeah. They're definitely like obsessed with each other.
Yeah.
I think
I don't know if it's love.
I don't know what it is. I don't like it, and I don't want that kind of relationship in my life ever, but I love watching it.
I had to mute it.
It's not great, actually. TBD if I love watching it. It's not my favorite thing to watch.
No, I mean, it's fun.
It's no Vanderpump Rules.
No, this was like a different kind. But Liz honestly was the light in this darkness, because she was just like, this is inappropriate for me to be around.
I don't trust it. I can't deal with it. I'm out of here. I got to get my hair done.
So she peaced.
That's my new excuse for anything.
Get my hair done.
That's like, you can't argue with that.
Hair is everything.
Hair is life.
It's 9 p.m. I have to get my hair done.
I have to get my hair done. I'm getting a blowout.
I'm checking this out.
What a history.
What a history.
I'm checking this out.
That was the episode.
That was, yeah. And what an episode it was. What a history.
More to come this season.
So much more. This is like truly... Gallery Girls is a roller coaster ride.
It is.
Also, I was hanging out with Ben from Watch What Crappens last week, and we were talking about Gigi, and he said that it's the question Andy Cohen gets asked most, which is Gallery Girls ever going to come back? People
really
love Gallery Girls.
It has a cult following.
It has a total cult following.
It's like NYC Prep.
Yeah. It was a great show.
I'm like already obsessed.
Didn't get its due.
No, it was too ahead of its time.
Most great things never do.
It was a glimpse into something that we weren't ready for.
It's like the comeback. Like it's like the level of uncomfortable that you feel at times in the comeback.
It came out around Girls.
Yeah.
So I think Girls was like, if it had come out like a year or two later, I think it would have been popular.
Mm-hmm.
Where people wouldn't have been so like, oh
yeah,
they would have like appreciated it.
Because you can't, sometimes you just like can't have both in this world.
No.
Like you need one to contextualize the other one.
It's true.
It is very Girls-esque.
It is.
Man, what a show. I'm so glad we have 6 more episodes.
I hope 12.
I hope limitless.
I hope to God.
What if we, like... No, that's... I was going to say, like, what if we just, like, thought... I don't know what I was going to say. We got to go.
Follow me at...
eCario.
At Maggie... /Amy from Gallery Girls.
Follow me at Eli Klein Art.
Follow me at Sharon Horowitz Art Dealing. Please, I wish.
I want an Instagram that's just Sharon's outfit.
I
want
to live in one of her giant sleeves.
Yeah.
Puffy sleeves.
I wish I was friends with Sharon.
You could be.
Never say never.
We're going to podcast live with Sharon from Art Basel next year.
Should I get an internship at Sharon's gallery?
What if you got an internship?
I could.
That'd be cool.
Anyone can get an internship. It's free.
It is.
There's no reason to not give... there are reasons to not give someone...
There's a lot of reasons.
There's actually a ton of reasons, but one of the things that I'm great at is interning. Didn't get me very far.
Me neither.
But I was good at it.
My internships didn't do shit.
My internships got me jobs that I got fired from eventually, but during the intern phase... I was great. Oh, yeah.
Oh, you worked.
I worked, yeah. But it was unpaid. Like, I paid to work, so it was actually the opposite of working.
Oh, my God.
But it was still fun, and I was great at it.
I wish I had done that.
You know what? You could still go to Cannes. You could pay $2,500 to go to Cannes and intern. And I could just like get an internship somewhere. Maybe we should do it. If the Patreon reaches $25,000 a month, I'll get an internship.
And I'll pay to go to...
Carrie will go to Cannes.
To pay to go to Cannes.
You can be a student in the Cannes Film Festival program. You'll be... the oldest person in the student thing.
By 10 years.
Yeah, by 10 years minimum. Maybe more. You can room with other students, or if you really want to like roll balls out, you can get a solo room, but you'll make more friends if you room with people.
I love a communal vibe.
I'm like, throw me into the fucking lion's den.
Let me walk into the fire.
Throw me to the wolves and I'll come back leading the pack.
R.I.P.
Yeah.
Whew. Anyway.
Anyways, if you want a bonus episode, you can get it. Patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast. There's lots of fun bonus content there for you as well. I'm posting the old Pumped podcast archived episodes that you can't fucking get anywhere else.
Wow.
You can get them on the Patreon. So that alone makes it worth it.
That is definitely worth it.
And that is a fucking time capsule.
Archive.
They're truly
culturally relevant.
These are iconic for so many reasons, but also they're helping me realize I'm actually psychic because I predicted a lot of things before they happen. But you'll have to listen to find out and become a patron.
I think it's worth it to become a patron.
Super worth it. It's a great deal. It's $5 a month for like so much fucking content.
So much.
And plus, if you get your friends to become patrons, eventually we could get to a level where we go to Trash Island, do a live podcast, and
send
then
us to Trash
get an
Island.
Internship.
I want to get an internship. At Trash Island.
You have to commute every
day
via helicopter.
I have to clean the trash.
Yeah.
That's my internship.
Google Trash Island.
And write us about Trash Island.
Yeah. Tell us everything. SexyUniquePodcast@gmail.com.
Also, raise awareness about it because it needs to go.
Yeah. Also, don't. I mean, I know you love Nespresso, but also just like think about the environmental impact it has because it's pretty bad. I'm just going to say it. I don't really shame people about anything. I'm pretty much a live and let live. But Nespresso pods are kind of the devil. Even though it's delicious. And I get why you would just keep drinking it. If Nespresso was to send me a bunch of free Nespresso pods, you better believe I'd dust that machine off and drink all of them. But also, I'd feel kind of guilty about it.
I miss Nespresso.
I know. Have an espresso on us.
Love you.
Love you.
Bye. The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.